Joker, I'm Batman.
Hey, Batman, I'm the Joker.
I don't think you should be doing that.
Would you like to sleep with Harley Quinn?
I frankly, a southern lift listen.
Hi, everyone. It's 9:09, and that means it's time for Sneaky Dragon. My name is David Dedrick.
My name's Ian Boothby. Can you listen to the show any other times?
I don't know. Was that a problem?
No, I'm just wondering, like, if you're telling people when to listen to the show, that might really restrict when people, like, I didn't even know 9:09, you're talking AM, PM. When are people supposed to be listening to this? Because if it's AM, I'm out. I'm not getting up that show? Early. No,
yeah.
I'm not a okay. morning person by any means.
Well, then it's PM.
Okay, good. Now I'm fine with that.
All right, good. Phew.
It's the summer, so there's no good shows on. It's all reruns.
Does it still work that way? I don't think it does.
I think it's mostly reruns.
I think it doesn't work that way anymore because they do that weird thing now where they like take a winter break.
Okay.
David. It's really frustrating.
My question to you. When we're recording this, some people have as a possibly prank.
Everyone, it's 9:10.
Yeah.
Decided to let everyone know.
Very good. Possibly as a prank, possibly, you know, a satire, have put naked statues of Donald Trump up in various cities.
Yes.
Have you seen this?
I have seen it. I also know that the New York Parks Board made a rather good joke.
Oh, and what was the joke?
They said that statues, they said we will not put up with illegal erections, no matter how small.
Ah, very good stuff.
Yeah.
Now, this to you, dear listener, is probably happening like 2 weeks ago, because this when we're recording this.
That's
so you're like, this is a little
we are right on top
you
of the
news.
You might
be going like, Trump's out of the race.
Yeah.
They're running that sassy cat now.
Oh, wow.
Mr. McWhiskers.
What time? Mr. Whiskerwitz.
That's right. He does not think outside of the box. That is what he guarantees. So my question to you, Dave, is this fair dinkum? This nudity. Is it fair to do a statue of a person naked who's running for public office? Is that okay?
Yeah.
I agree as well.
Then.
Yeah, I want to get your take on it. Because some people have been saying this is the lowest of the low. This just takes this down. Which I don't think it's lower than things that he's said.
Yeah, what? How low can we go?
And also, I think, because we were talking a little bit about satire.
Okay.
Previously. That he has talked about his body.
He has talked about his penis.
Yeah,
talked about his body. He has told us.
He's talked about his hands and his penis.
Told us that he has small hands. No,
right.
I don't know what he says about his hands. What does he say? His hands are normal?
Small good hands, size and nothing to worry about. No complaints.
No complaints.
Downstairs.
I've paid for no complaints.
Yeah.
He said. I think because he's
brought that up actually at a debate, he has made his body part of his talking points. And so I believe that is fine for satire. Whereas if someone did a naked statue of Hillary Clinton, she has not brought that subject up.
Yeah.
That would not be fair for satire on her, even though some people have brought it up. Well, could you just do that? No, you can't because she hasn't brought it up. He's brought it up. So now we can go after that. And there you are. That's my take on that, an issue that is 2 weeks old.
No, I agree with you. I think fair comment. And, you know, when you put yourself in the public sphere, then you open yourself up for mockery. And whether you think that's good or not, you do. I mean, I think, you know, through various nefarious means, the press, that sort of barbed comment has been sort of neutered in our culture now. But it's great that there's a group that are kind of doing this sort of guerrilla commentary, putting up these statues.
Yeah.
Why not?
Have some fun. It seems fun.
Have some fun out there, guys.
It's like, is it body shaming? Fair enough. But it is for, but again, I think it's satire on something he has brought up.
Yeah.
And so there you go. Have at her. Pitter patter. But let us know what you think, a gentle audience. Was that out of line? Did something terrible happen in the last 2 weeks that makes this discussion completely inappropriate?
I have not seen.
Did he get his penis bitten off?
I haven't seen the whole. Is it made of cheese? The statue. I haven't seen the.
I don't think squirrels would go for cheese.
They wouldn't.
No, that's not. It's more of a mouse situation.
Oh,
squirrels. All right, squirrels would go for the nuts. Let's admit that. That's
the nuts gone.
Yeah.
I haven't seen the statue. Is it actually small? Is it like a underwhelming?
Yes.
Hmm.
Very much so.
Okay.
Very much so, and an unflattering buttocks.
Did you know that you could get your penis enlarged through surgery? They will actually surgically
What would be
implant.
The other ways of doing it?
Well, through fake ways.
Thinking happy thoughts?
Yeah, thinking happy thoughts. Taking pills, using suction devices to artificially lengthen it. Doing what apparently, it I don't know if it still is, but it was a common form of hysteria in parts of Asia to think that your penis was receding into your body. And so men would tie string and put weights on their penis to stop it from doing that.
Right, which was also a good sundial.
Good sundial.
Yeah. Good metronome. Mm-hmm. Also work out.
Yeah. Good metronome. People whose, you know, friends who played piano really appreciated you.
Men put the dick in ridiculous sometimes.
Yes.
They really,
well,
they'll put their dick
into lots of things, but also into ridiculous. You're right. Yeah. Yeah. No, it was a actual form of hysteria. I don't know if it still exists there, but although judging from the amount of unfortunate animals that are murdered all over the world in order to help men feel better about themselves, we still seem to have a problem.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate.
I wonder if that's gone, I wonder if that number's gone down now that we have these miracle devices in our pockets where we can just play games and like go online and do anything. Now that we have these magic little boxes that will take us anywhere.
Take away our...
I think it'll be distract us. Yeah.
Distract us from the...
Yeah, I think it'll
distract
us.
Sad reality?
I think so. Possibly.
Or our interpretation of a sad reality.
Yeah, I think that's possible. By the way, if this is one of those episodes where you're listening to it with your daughter in the car and we're talking about penises on strings, once again... It means Dave is hosting the episode. Okay. If you're driving down the street and just going, I wanted to hear maybe some Beatles trivia. I wanted to talk about, you know, maybe some movies or what's your favorite ice cream, that kind of business.
That's
once
not
it
fair.
Becomes stretching your dick with a string,
sure.
You know it's a Dave episode.
I don't control the conversation. I am just riding the dragon. Yeah. I'm just riding the guild navigator.
Riding the sneaky dragon. That's
everyone,
what you're doing.
Like everyone, yeah. Riding the sneaky dragon. You don't know where that's going to take us. It just takes us there. But it's weird. I'm just thinking about, it just takes us anywhere. But I'm just thinking now.
A horrible bus driver.
Like, this is what I've heard.
This is a magical misery tour.
This is what I've heard. I don't know this for sure. I don't know this through actual experience.
Okay.
But from what I know, it seems weird to me that porn sites are full of ads that are designed to shame you for having a small penis. While you're, you know, engaging in activities that involve said penis. Don't you think that's odd, or is that a good idea?
What should they have ads for?
I don't know. The usual thing, sex sites and other sex sites. Mm. And then
you know what
the fact that there's a lady who lives 3 miles away from you who's looking for a good time.
Yeah.
I don't know how she knew that I was online, but apparently,
I know.
Apparently
when
I'm dropping
one,
cookies wherever I go.
Said, there's a lady who's sure all the glitters is gold. She's buying a stairway to heaven.
Buying a stairway to heaven?
And I went, that's interesting. Yeah.
Climbing a stairway to heaven, as I once thought.
Completely wrong.
Yeah, I was totally wrong.
Here's what I think the problem is with porn sites.
Okay.
So you got your porn.
I thought it was a prom site. That's why I ended up there. Otherwise, I would never go.
By the way, I'm apologizing that we're talking about pornography. Once again, it's a Dave episode. Listen to the last episode. Listen to me cry about my cat. Those are the gentle, sweet episodes I bring to the table. And then Dave, the perv, Dedrick.
I just want to point out, everybody, that in that episode, I brought up the cat. I brought around the conversation so that you could talk about that.
It's murder.
And this one, you're the one who started talking about the Donald Trump statue,
right?
Which naturally took us to what's the problem with porn sites?
What's the problem with porn sites?
Yeah, you tell us.
First of all, there's all
this is something you've heard about, right? You don't know from experience.
No, I watch them when I masturbate. So here's what
I've heard of that too.
Yeah. So they got free pornography on them, right?
Okay.
The free pornography.
Yes.
And then underneath. There's ads. There's like ones you could click on where you could pay to
watch
pornography.
Sure,
dude. It's like in the it's in the Simpsons episode where Homer's in the land of chocolate.
Mm-hmm.
And he's dancing around the land of chocolate.
Yeah,
and then goes to a candy store and it's chocolate half off. Brother, that's what you're doing here. There's no reason anyone's going to pay for this when you can get it for free. That's silly.
Okay. And yet there it is.
And then as you say, on the side, there's inadequate or want to meet a lady or this kind of business.
Yeah.
All right. But the problem is you've got the, and again, I completely apologize that this is our show. You've got the ads. So,
why are you apologizing?
Well, because you've got the free pornography.
Ugh.
So you're there.
Yeah.
And you've come here for this reason.
Sure.
You click on your free pornography.
Yeah.
Complete your transaction physically with this pornography.
Okay.
Now, the last thing you want is more pornography. First of all, I'm not going to pay for pornography.
It's redundant.
And also, you can't shame me. I don't care about anything right now. You know what I could go for?
Yeah.
Maybe a burger or something. What it should like immediately do when you shut down that site, it should immediately go, hey, you want a nap? Or can I have a pillow? Or should I have a place to go for a nice nap?
Yeah.
Or like, you know, something that's comforting or whatever. Just like, hey, why don't you get a pizza delivered, buddy? How about a pizza? And that's the stuff you want then.
Sure.
And then all of a sudden, it's like, you know what's going to go on at that point.
Sure. Kleenex for those uncontrollable guilty sobs.
That's right. You know, someone who will deliver Kleenex to your door quietly, leave it there.
Also for cleaning up.
Yeah. And so on
and so
forth.
It has multi-purposes.
Yes.
That's good. Well, the thing is that the videos they're showing you are edited down. So if you want to see
everything. What do you, Sting? How much time do you need?
I tantric masturbate. So it usually takes me about 3 to 4 hours.
By the way, on a complete side note, and let me just say this.
Yes.
This is just between you and me and the audience.
Okay.
I may be doing something in the future that will involve Sting actually for real.
Oh.
So I should knock off the Sting masturbation jokes on our free podcast.
You should do that.
Because... I need to make a living.
He might hear it.
Yeah. Well, there might be somewhere in the future where he just Googles his name and all of a sudden this nonsense pops up. Let's go, that guy.
What's funny though, that was in an interview in Q magazine between him and an obvious Bob Geldof. They were talking, they were having like a little dialogue together with the interviewer there, and Sting brought this up. He wasn't like forced to talk about it. He voluntarily brought it up.
Yeah.
But what's interesting is this was back in early 90s?
Yeah, early 90s.
Before the internet.
Yeah.
So it did not explode and destroy his life in some interesting way. It just kind of laid there in a British music magazine.
But everyone knew it.
It kind of came out over time.
Spread,
over time, it's come out. But it's come out in such a slow leak that it's never...
I hate all the ways you're describing this.
It's
not an explosion. It's a slow leak.
It's oozed out.
Nope. Still not liking it at all.
It has slowly crept.
I'm not listening to this episode. I apologize for all the Dave episodes. If you want to, just listen to every other one. It's like the Star Trek movies.
That mine are the odd episodes.
Mm-hmm.
That's why.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you know, it just kind of came out over time.
Oh my God. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Instead of coming out in a gigantic spurt.
What? Yeah.
It just kind of came out in a small trickle.
Yeah. Synchronicity.
And that allowed it to not like overwhelm him. Mm-hmm. But it's just sort of this weird kind of underlying thing. And plus, really, when you think about it, the fact that you say that you are having sex with your wife, who, by the way, is a movie producer.
Okay.
Produced, for instance, Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels.
Yeah.
I really have to recuse
myself from the rest of this conversation. Please go on.
The fact that he's boasting about having, marital relations for literally hours. So, you know, really, it's kind of a humble brag. Is what I'm saying. So he probably doesn't mind that it's kind of made it, secreted itself out into the culture.
I worked on a show once that Bob Geldof hosted as well.
Oh, really? What was the show called?
It was called Semen Shot.
Yeah, a double shot. Okay.
It was called Switchback.
Switchback.
I used to write and perform on a kid's show called Switchback.
Yeah.
And one episode he hosted, and he played Boomtown Rats videos on it.
Of course.
Because, you know, he's got
them. Who he was.
He has them.
Yeah.
So he played them. That's the whole story on that. And the next week it was a different host.
Hmm.
And there we go, folks. I wasn't on that one episode he was on, but I was on the show that he did.
Okay.
There.
Thank
you. And I can say nothing more about Sting.
Yes, you have recused yourself.
No. Who's the guitar player on The Police?
Andy Summer.
I have written jokes for him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, on a TV show called
Big Sound. They were the phoniest band. You didn't know it at the time when you listened to them. You thought, hey, these hip kids with their blonde hair and their summery shirts.
And their Synchronicity album, which was amazing.
It's okay.
No, it's pretty amazing.
Mm.
Pretty great.
I think they're more of a singles band myself, but okay.
Okay.
You're thinking these guys are... They're speaking to me, speaking to my generation. They were so old. It's like Andy Summer, for instance.
I don't like things standing so close to me.
Andy Summer,
yeah.
He performed with Eric Burdon and the Animals in the 60s.
Okay.
In the 60s.
Sure.
10 years later, pretending he's like some punky guy.
What's he singing?
He's a hippie.
No, they're not.
Boo.
What are they singing about
hippies.
Being young? They're not
Boo.
Singing anything about being young.
Boo. They're pretending. They dyed their hair blonde.
Gordon Sumner was a teacher.
But he also played in jazz groups.
Okay, we've seen Stuart where
Copeland.
He went.
Stuart yeah. Copeland played drums okay. in Curved Air.
He's a teacher.
Ooh, hippie band.
Who sang "Don't Stand So Close to Me"?
Yeah, good song.
Being a song about a creepy old
yeah,
guy.
It's a good song.
Who's macking on a high school girl? So it's not like he's hiding that he's an older guy.
One of the first singles I bought.
Yeah, so there, it's fair. It's not like he's going, I'm young, she likes me, it's totally okay. There are no issues, I could have sex with her all day.
That's true.
Speaking of that, I do that, I have sex all day long, for very long periods of time, very, very, very long.
The recusement has ended.
Yeah.
Nice. Thanks for that.
Her first block in high school. I'd still be having sex.
Do stand.
I'd have it.
Do stand so close to me.
That's right.
Yeah. I love that. They're a singles band, as far as I'm concerned. And that's because I bought that song as a single. It was one of my first singles there.
And what was the B-side?
Oh, man, I don't remember now. But I think it was an album track. I don't think they're really very good at putting more songs out.
I also enjoy SOS. That's a nice little song.
I think you're thinking of ABBA. Maybe you're thinking Message in a Bottle?
Message in a Bottle. Yeah, sorry about that.
That's okay. I'll mock
you
about it.
Actually, SOS and Message in a Bottle would be good songs to play back to back.
That's true. You're right. Message in a Bottle is a good song.
Folks. All this sting bashing also isn't coming from me. Let's make sure that's clear. No, this was something that happened this morning where there's something that might be a job offer, but it may just tangentially involve sting.
Okay.
So
did you say tantrically involve sting?
You want to talk about Suicide Squad, huh, Dave?
I saw it. Did you see it?
Yeah, I saw it.
I feel like we're at a safe point now because this show, although strictly speaking, we're not there yet, but it's what, 4 weeks after the movie's opened?
Okay.
By the time the show comes out, is that accurate?
It's been
weeks.
A big hit, sure. It's
three
been
weeks.
Yeah.
It has been a big hit. It's made a lot of money.
Critical sneers and
critical
audience showing ups. Because it seemed like it was kind of bulletproof. Like, it seemed like the kind of film that,
you
like...
couldn't make
you want,
a mistake.
Well, even if it was bad,
you couldn't,
it looks what, interesting. It looks
what,
like...
What could go wrong with this film? That's what you're thinking. So you're going, David Ayer wrote it, directed it. Mm-hmm. He did Training Day. Good movie.
Right.
End of Watch. Mm-hmm. I love that film. Did Sabotage, not so good, Arnold Schwarzenegger film, now on Netflix. But does have a scene where a person's shooting at another car from a trunk, if that's what you like. But not a great movie. But yeah, still, those, you know, Training Day,
It's got
Day,
a very attractive
Watch.
Woman in the lead that you go...
Oh,
in Suicide Squad?
Are you talking about Margot Robbie?
Yeah.
She's
so you're gonna see that, and you're gonna go. You might go to see that just because you like to see someone very attractive.
If you like her,
yeah, you might
see
go,
Wolf of Wall Street.
Yeah,
it's a better movie.
There you are. You might go. I like Will Smith. I like a Will Smith mm-hmm. movie. I missed him in the Independence Day sequel, which was terrible.
Did you not see him in it, or did you just miss him?
Did I see
because
the
you recused
did I see
yourself
the picture
from
on the
film?
Wall of him?
Was that the limit of his?
Yep.
His involvement was the
yep.
picture.
Spoilers for Independence Day 2. So sorry your dad went down in flames.
Oh.
So, yeah, sorry your dad's dead. Dad's dead.
That's
he
terrible.
Didn't do the movie, so, you know, they kill him.
Rub
which
him
seemed
in.
A little
yeah.
bleh to that.
It's like a temper
so
tantrum.
This is the film that he did. So
temper tantric.
Yeah, and you like Will Smith. He's a likable guy, and from the trailers, it seems like he's Will Smithing it up. He's wise-assing.
Mm-hmm.
We want to see that. He's not sad
sure.
walking around with his dog having to shoot zombies. He's,
yeah.
And even though
and his dog.
We don't even mind. Oh, jeez. Dave, come on. And, you know, it's fine. So it looks like...
Wait, what are you OGs me for? Because I wrote the movie or because
apparently
I
apparently there's a little Joker in this? That sounds like it'd be all right.
Yeah.
Every time we've seen the Joker in movies, that's always a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
If the Joker isn't in a Batman movie, it means it's a terrible Batman movie.
That's right. They couldn't get Cesar Romero. That's what it means.
That doesn't necessarily mean it's terrible. Batman Begins wasn't that terrible. But for the most part, if you don't have Joker in your Batman movie, it's a problem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree.
So there's things. And you go like, the concept is interesting. Bad guys having to do some good. That's interesting. Okay. And then the
doesn't,
movie
it
begins.
Doesn't make any logical sense.
Oh, we can get into the logic problems later. We can break down all the logic issues.
Can we do it now?
Sure, you
okay.
can do it
no,
now.
No,
and Dave, start off with your
no, no, it's
issues.
Fine.
Go.
No, I do have a lot of issues with the film. And this is, by the way, everyone, this is going to be a spoiler-filled review. We're going to talk about this film.
Now, let me ask
and we're giving
all,
it all away.
Before we get started, is your knuckle still bleeding from earlier?
It's a bit gooey looking.
Okay, I'm going to say, those of you that listened to last week's episode, Dave noticed that he was bleeding out at the end of the last episode. We went to get a little something to eat. Mm-hmm. Dave bled through the meal.
Yes, I did.
So, you know, he has lost a lot of blood.
I am a little
lightheaded. Which is why he was talking about all these filthy things at the beginning of the show. Again, I couldn't apologize
more. I didn't even say anything.
And
I listened to you quite kindly.
You know what I like about pornography? Those ladies are coming on you, I think.
Yeah.
Okay, first of all, all, this was a PG-13 movie, not an R movie.
No.
R seems to be the new thing for DC movies.
Why?
The week before...
Well, this is because of Deadpool, not because of the DC movies. It's merely reactionary. It has nothing to do with what DC was planning to do.
Disagree. Here is why.
Okay.
Because Batman v Superman released an R-rated version of their... The ultimate cut is R-rated.
Is that in theaters?
I think they briefly showed it in theaters and then it was released to home. So that was an R-rated
cut. Yeah, but that's not in theaters. I mean, I know they put it in theaters, but the original film was not an R cut.
That's true, but okay. I'm going to keep going.
I ain't
going
to win that argument.
No, you're not, because here's the other thing. The week before this came out, The Killing Joke was released in theaters, the animated movie based on the story The Killing Joke.
The over-under-through thing.
And that was an R-rated Batman movie. Okay. That was okay. And so these two came out about the same time. So we had two R-rated DC things in a row.
Yep.
Then this comes out, which oddly enough seems like there's more violence in this than there was in those other two.
But
and yet it's PG-13.
Here's why: they're shooting blackberries, not actual humans. So it's okay. Even though
we can get into that.
Even though the blackberries are humans who have been turned into blackberries.
Now Deadpool when it.
And I don't mean the phone. Yeah. I mean actual. Understood. Fruit.
When Deadpool came out, I thought, you know, they had fun with the fact that it was an R. They had nudity. They had really crazy violence. Yeah. It played its R up well.
They had some fun nudity.
Yeah.
They had some fun violence.
Yeah.
They had some fun
sex.
It was a fucking fun film.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm starting to get mad because I'm getting mad with Suicide Squad.
Right.
But that was a fun movie.
About a very similar character to how the Harley Quinn character is portrayed in comics.
Mm-hmm.
The two of them... Very similar how they are right now, which is they're the bad guy, because Deadpool used to be just an out-and-out bad guy,
okay.
Who then kind of become anti-hero.
He's sort of amoral,
right,
morally
but now,
neutral.
But he does like heroic things. He will put his life on the line for others. He does do good. And same thing with Harley in the comics.
But then he's
now.
Sarcastic afterwards, so that just brings him back into morality.
And yet they sometimes look directly at the camera, or they seem to be in on the joke,
yeah.
Or they'll use a Looney Tunes...
In on the Joker? Hello?
A Looney Tunes-style device. Mm-hmm. To deal with stuff, so they're very similar. Sure. So that's a little bit of a parallel.
It's a
there.
Little meta. There and you I don't are. Mean meta human.
Now back to Suicide Squad. Dave, go.
Jeez, thanks for putting me on the spot. No, well, my feeling about what did I say? The I can't remember what we're talking
you said
about.
You
now.
Loved it.
I loved it in every way. Well,
two boomerangs up.
Unlike you,
your favorite character was Slipknot. Really well developed character, Slipknot. Everyone loves Slipknot.
Well, that's the problem with the movie. Okay, here's a
Slipknot.
Let's talk
Slipknot.
Let's pull it back a little bit and let's talk about
way back.
The overall problems with the film. One problem with the film.
Too dark.
And
I see it.
I'm reporting. I'm saying this is what I've heard. I've heard that he was given 6 weeks to write a script for this film. That is not long enough for any person to develop a coherent storyline, let alone a full script for a movie, or to have other people look at it and take it apart, tear it down, and rebuild it so that you have a nice structure to your story. I imagine that Marvel films spend a little bit longer writing
probably.
Out the movies.
Yeah,
and
I would say so.
They'll do some storyboarding in order to figure out what they want for action and stuff like
and
that.
And yet, I would say, what's the fucking... situation with this, like, all right, first of all, you got a comic you can loosely base it on. You could probably go through the comics and find a story to loosely
base
it on.
I don't think so.
He didn't, but he could have, because they're there. Yeah, there is source material. So what do you got to do? You got to do, she forms the Suicide Squad. You got to do that.
Yeah.
We got to introduce all the characters.
No, we don't, but they did.
Twice. So you got to, but I'm just saying, as if you're going, I got to write a Suicide Squad movie as a filmmaker, as a writer, I'm going to go this. Okay.
You've got to write a Suicide Squad.
So what I've got to do is I've got to, first of all, probably just
do some research.
What I've got to probably do is I've got to do a little tease off the top of what the villain is, because I need to set up, there's a reason for setting these characters up.
Now, don't do that. We don't need that. So go on.
You know, you want a little hint of
apparently
of
that. We don't need that.
Next thing I want to see is I probably want to see the
bad
guys.
How about lots of music that you don't need in the movie?
There we go.
Do you want that?
I want to see the bad guys being bad. I want to see Deadshot. I want to see Deadshot being Deadshot. I want to see Harley Quinn out with the Joker. Yeah. I want to see them all at the top of their game. And
you
then I want
see,
to see
you want to see Killer Croc.
You
want to
see Killer Croc, and doing some shit in the sewers. And then
you
want to
see Captain Boomerang throwing a boomerang.
There, you want to see like all of that, and then maybe at the end of that, you see them all captured and they're thrown in jail.
You want to see Slipknot listening to his favorite band, Slipknot.
That's right.
Yeah.
So that's what I want to see. Now, mm-hmm. now we got to have, they're approached by Amanda Waller. You got to break down, you know, make a deal with them. There yeah. you go. Put them together. There's people are objecting. This will never work. Yeah. Then you got to send them out on a mission. Have their first mission fuck up because that's how it has to go. Bring them back.
But here, can I just say something? Okay. Their mission has to be a kind of a secret mission somewhere else in the world.
Absolutely.
It has to take place in an area that no superhero can go.
That's right.
Batman can't go there. Superman That's can't right. go there. This has to be a it's group a diplomat, that we can which is, we can write them off.
Which is what the comics do.
Yeah.
They send them into the jungle. They send them into other countries yeah. where they can't do it because there would be yeah, shit yeah. would go down.
Okay. I just wanted okay. to make right. that one little
so
point.
So we send them off on a mission and yeah. it's a clusterfuck.
Yeah.
Maybe a couple of them die.
Sure.
A couple of characters we like and we've set up have died.
Yeah.
Bring them back.
Bring them back.
Now it's like, you know, and it's like, this is a total failure. Mm-hmm. Fuck you, Amanda Waller. We can't have this. We cannot have this.
Yeah.
What happened when they were out there?
I love that song, by the way. Fuck you, Amanda Waller.
That's right. What happened when they were out there? Something got triggered. Something happened. Something erupted. Something got loose. Something that now only they can stop.
Yeah.
Well, we got to bring them out again. Are you kidding me? These guys,
yeah.
they just fucked up so bad.
Yeah.
Bring them out again. And this time they all make, you know, and along the ways, we set up all their characters. And like, this person has an ethical problem with this. This person has a problem with this. And then, you know, the second battle, you know, they go into, and this is like a really kind of, you know, big battle.
Yeah.
This is where someone betrays somebody. Someone falls in love with somebody. Something happens. Interpersonal things happen within the group.
Yeah.
And then we get a twist. We got to have a twist. Probably the thing that we thought was the hero, one of them is a villain. Oh. Flip it around. Flippity-doo.
Crazy town.
We like this guy the best. Holy shit, he's the worst.
Yeah.
He's in on it, you fuckers. Yeah. Okay, now we got to go. And then you yeah. have the big climactic finale. They have to fight the thing that they liked, the person they liked. They fight the twist. They beat them all. And then, you know, we bring them back. And by the way, they're having a good time while doing it. They like the freedom, even though they're out because sure. they're crazy.
Best villain as well, the twist.
There you go. And then like a little setup of like something even worse is coming, and they're going to have to fight that next.
Yeah, you have to watch.
And that's how you do your
fucking
movie.
You have to watch the whole credit sequence.
This is goddamn fucking standard, man. This is standard.
It's easy.
But instead...
Easy peasy. So instead...
They start off with two identical intro sequences.
Well, here's the thing. And because once again, because the studio got cold feet and didn't want to, couldn't bring this movie out the way that it was done by the director, they brought in three different editors to make three different cuts of the film. Yeah. And the one they liked the best was edited by a trailer editing group. So
because the trailer was good.
Yeah.
Because the trailer worked. The trailer had a good feeling to it.
Yeah. But no one wants to watch a trailer for an entire movie. And to prove that, we did. We watched an entire trailer and...
Well, let's just go from the very beginning.
Like, sure.
This is not, by the way, this is not the first time you've seen Amanda Waller. Amanda Waller was in the Green Lantern movie.
Did not see that
She
movie.
Was killed in the Green Lantern movie in a terror... Like, she was... Angela Bassett. She was Angela Bassett.
Yeah.
Great actress.
She is a great actress. Yeah,
you're right. You know, and she's killed off stupidly in the Green Lantern thing, making you go, "What are you, dumb?" I believe she was also in Arrow as a character. They were forming a Suicide Squad there. Mm. Whatever, whatever. But okay, so they start off with her at a secret covert meeting over some steak.
Is that where it starts?
Well, it's in the restaurant, right? It's all them. They're having dinner in a restaurant with a government guy and her, and she's going, "This is my Suicide Squad," and she's describing all the people, right? She's going through all.
But didn't they already show them in prison before the movie kind of got going? Like, you see them in the prison, and they're like the guards coming around, the mustachioed guy from the Mindy Project's coming around and tormenting them in their cells.
But she's got to describe who they are, or we don't know who they are.
Isn't that the second introduction? Like, we get the first introduction of them in their cells, and then we get the second introduction, or is this
I think they cut too. So it's like
the first one.
It does, right? She comes in, she's eating steak, she puts down the files. The first one, dead shot.
But isn't her introduction? Please allow me to introduce myself. Blah 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 blah. That's when we see her, because then we know she's evil because it's playing "Sympathy for the Devil."
The first time you see her with "Sympathy for the Devil," that's Harley Quinn. She's doing her business, like her flippity doos in her cage. She looks up. She sees Amanda Waller. "Please allow me to introduce myself." Plays. She looks up, and then I think that's when Harley Quinn says to her, "Are you the devil?" But maybe it is. "Please allow me to introduce myself." She gets out and she's going to the restaurant.
I believe the first song in the film is "House of the Rising Sun," which is playing because it's in Louisiana, the prison.
Okay,
so
but the,
of course you're going to play you, a song that's based in New Orleans.
If the first thing you see is Deadshot without saying he's Deadshot, then it makes no sense. She's got to say he's Deadshot, and then they bring up all their cartoon images as well next to a file, and then they show the things. But here's the way it kind of plays out. The first scene is,
let's not argue,
covert fancy restaurant. She's having a steak. Government guy has to convince these two government guys this is a
one
good idea.
One played by David Harbour, the plays
guy from
Hopper.
Stranger Things.
Hopper on Stranger
Very
Things.
Very nice. Okay, and you get this scene. You're like, oh, I get it. She's a behind the scenes type person.
Yeah.
She doesn't go out in the open.
No, she wouldn't.
She plays it cool.
She's a Machiavellian.
She does not present herself. Mm-hmm. You know, which is why this is a secret, covert, you know, thing. No one's gonna know this is going on.
Yeah.
By the way, there's a siren going by right now, but it's too far away for us to see.
In the opposite direction.
Okay. So the next scene, after she plays out who all these people are,
yeah,
it's all these government people around a table, all these generals.
Yeah.
And she's pitching again.
Yes.
A second fucking time. Mm-hmm. It's like, I thought you were the covert fucking person. How you play this is, you do the first scene.
Yeah.
Now, guy from Stranger Things,
yeah,
he pitches the second time.
Sure.
She's got plausible deniability because she's gone.
Yep.
That's how you fucking do it, Jack. Yep. And he's just parroting what she says. And you could even cut to her talking to him and make those scenes make sense. But instead, you played an entire scene pitching Suicide Squad, convinced him. Now we're watching her sell it to another group of people. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What the fuck is that about? That makes no fucking sense.
And the problem with the introductory part of the film is it gives you like a nice juicy Deadshot story,
mm-hmm,
a overly juicy Harley Quinn origin, and then kind of bypasses the rest of the characters.
Yeah.
Killer Croc gets, you know, mentioned. He, you know, he's became
a
monster.
Crocodile.
You know, he was treated like a monster, so he became a monster. Okay, I guess that makes me like him. And then the other characters, Captain Boomerang, seems like a bad partner to do a heist with. That's what we learned about him.
He betrays his partner.
He betrays his partner.
Or he fights the Flash, and like that doesn't seem like a fair fight at all. Flash moves faster than light. He's got two boomerangs.
You know, I'm not really going to complain about villains having unfair, or heroes
unfair
advantages
because
over villains.
Because that is such a wasted scene because, you know, it's like, what's the deal with Captain
Boomerang? Only that scene is wasted? Okay.
No, all these scenes are wasted. But if you've got a scene where you're flashing back to how Captain Boomerang was caught, and the Flash is there, okay, now all we've got to do is like show something like him throwing the boomerangs, missing the Flash. It's so fucking simple. Missing the Flash looking like, come on, man.
Yeah.
That wasn't even close.
Yeah.
Then Flash going for him and getting it in the back of the head, knocking him down.
Yeah.
We just need to go, oh, the guy, the boomerangs come back. This is how the boomerangs fucking work.
He's got some mad skills.
Yeah. You
got to
see him like get one shot in.
With his mad
Joker's
got
to punch Batman once before Batman punches Joker. Yeah. Otherwise, this makes no sense.
Sure.
But no, it's just like, no, it just catches him. Nothing. Nothing. It's like, fuck off. And by the way, if you're going to, again, spoilers, have a character that you kill off almost immediately like Slipknot.
Yeah, but you don't give any background to.
Right.
He just shows up.
That's not how you do it, Jack.
Here's Slipknot.
You pump that guy up the most.
Yeah.
But the worst of the worst is Slipknot.
Sure.
He can get in and out of anywhere. He's amazing.
You knew he was
gonna
die.
See him there.
Oh,
he's over here.
Awful.
He's over here. He's over there.
It's awful.
And in the original script, from what I heard, he's also like a child molester. So you're supposed to hate him for that so you don't feel bad later when, you know, bad things happen
But
to
why?
Him.
Well, that's not even a good idea either. Like, who? Like, then what is your what is the emotional payoff of his character dying?
In the
I like heads blowing up.
Yeah, in the comic, he like whips down a noose and like strangles people, and that's his thing. It's creepy. You can make a good creepy scene out of this guy. You hate this guy.
Yeah,
but he's also really cool, and like you're going to see him in action.
Yeah.
You know, out and about.
Sure.
Also, by the way, just because you know he's a First Nations guy.
Yeah, there's
that's
a Native
weird.
American. Yeah,
when you take away your diversity,
Canadian actor too. Adam
yeah,
Beach.
Good actor.
Yeah,
and so you know who just comes across as a dumb dumb gets his head blown off.
yeah.
Terrible.
No.
Absolutely fucking stupid. Terrible.
Stupid.
Yeah.
Why are you so stupid?
There's so much wrong with this movie. Okay, let me just say what's good about
it. Okay, let me just...
Stuff blows up, and the pretty people look pretty, and Will Smith does some wisecracking that's very Will Smith. And so if you just watch it for a few seconds, like if you go to the washroom, come back, watch a couple of minutes, go to the washroom again, come back, look at your watch, play a video game, look up again. If you watch this on TV, you might think this is okay.
Yeah.
And just think, I guess I just missed the plot points.
Yeah, yeah.
And go, there's entertaining actors acting and trying their best here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's the positive.
Sort of.
That's the positive. Go.
Okay, so let's talk about... it's hard for me. I'm not very linear, so... Because, you know, I believe in time is... Anyway.
Please don't refer to past episodes.
Why not?
Okay.
Why not? It's our own universe.
That's right.
We can refer to things. It's like a Marvel
Episode
universe.
Episode 246, Dave talks about a stacked universe.
Stacked. And I... Well, okay. So, here's another big problem with the film is the Joker. Which I have no problem with the character of the Joker. I have no problem with how Jared Leto has decided to play the Joker. I'm fine with that. If he wants to do him so he looks like kind of like a neon Russian gangster, fine, whatever.
The Joker is.
If he can apparently hire, if he has infinite amount of money to hire people to write "ha" on a wall, 100, you know, like guy comes in, what, can I help you, boss? Yeah, here's the thing of paint. I want you to write "ha" with an exclamation mark about 200 times on the wall.
Okay, boss. Just quick question, boss. Should the "ha" look exactly like the tattoos on your body, boss?
Yeah.
Okay, boss. Quick question again.
What's that?
These tattoos you have on your body, boss.
Yeah.
Because this is a flashback we're in right now.
Yeah.
Should the tattoos be any different, boss, than the ones that you have in the present? Like maybe you got some later on, or did you get all your tattoos at the same time?
All
boss?
The same time.
All the same day.
Yeah. I just all did them complete. All the time.
You went full. It was full
a
deal.
It was a deal. There was a deal on.
Okay, boss. So no for change at all?
For 13 tattoos, I got one free.
Okay, so nothing to show the passage
of
time?
No, you don't want it. No,
okay, we're
fine.
On it, boss. Thanks very much, boss.
Very good. All right. And could you send in Mike? Because I want him to lay out all my weapons on the floor in a radiating pattern. I just want it to radiate around
like
me.
Like a square?
It sort of looks like a square, but also kind of like a question mark. You're not going to be sure what you're looking at. I just want all the guns and my knives, my grenades.
I know you're not normally open to notes.
Hey, I'm talking. My assault rifles, my rocket launchers. Right. I just want them all in a kind of a sort of a question mark pattern, also kind of boxy.
I'm gonna just stop you right there,
sure,
boss.
Sure,
you know how you said you were open to criticism and then
shot
the
really,
guy.
Not really open for criticism.
Okay. I just
think
that seems more a Riddler thing. The question marks.
I know,
more
but
thing.
I just want to be laying in a kind of a thing. Maybe it's a keyhole. I'm not. I don't know. I don't
what
know what I'm going
a
for
keyhole?
Here.
That sounds more
I just
like
got a
key
vision
master,
in my mind. Also, could you send in Lanny? Because I want Lanny to take my piano and turn it upside down. All right. Because you know what? I don't feel like playing it right now. I'd rather it was just sitting upside
down.
That
sounds like the music master,
good.
Boss. That really sounds like a
good.
Music master
Listen,
thing.
Listen, I heard it keeps it in tune for longer if you have it upside down every once in a while. That's what I heard.
Do we need all these penguins here? Because this really seems like a penguin situation, boss.
It was something I read on the internet. I saw on the internet and Facebook someone posted a thing about how penguins can help increase your sex drive. You know, so I thought I'd try it.
Okay, boss.
You
know, we'll get those. We'll get all those knives left in a concentric circle.
Because you know that they come from the Antantrica. Anyway, okay.
That's a good one, boss. Don't shoot me, boss. That's
it.
A good one. Tantantrica.
Okay. Do you want to have sex with my girlfriend?
What?
Yeah, she's right over there. Do you want to have sex with her? You can if you want.
Oh, that takes us to an ugly level.
I'm offering.
Are we PG-13?
I'm offering her right now. Like you can
do
whatever you
wrong,
want with
boss.
Her. She's crazy. I just want you to know right now. Best sex ever, right? Crazy girl. Come on. What do you say? No? Because I'll kill you if you say no.
Wait,
I'm just warning you.
Won't you kill me if I say yes as
I'll
well?
I'll kill you both ways. Basically, what I'm saying
now
is.
Now that sounds like a two-faced thing. I get it both ways. Seems like a two-faced thing, boss.
I felt like his character in the film, like, once you introduce him, you either want him to never appear again because you're saving him for something later.
Yeah.
Or you want him throughout the film because I really felt like he could be. You could have your main plots that, like you outlined, but then you could have him in the background as almost like a constant spoiler. So when things are going to work out, the Joker kind of comes in and wrecks things because he's trying to pull Harley Quinn out of this. And, you know, so he's just a sort of like kind of floating above the action, you know, kind of worrisome thing. Rather than appearing once in the film and disastrously blowing it in some weird way that kind of neuters his character almost.
Right.
Like
now,
why?
Here's what I would have gone with this is, so you play up, you
not
know,
a big gunship that he suddenly arrives on the scene and
well,
chops a building in half.
Here's what Amanda Waller says right off the top. Mm-hmm. These are the worst of the worst.
Worst of the worst, guys. Listen
but,
to that.
But they're not.
No, they're the worst of the worst.
Because we constantly keep flashing back to the Joker, who is the worst of the worst.
She said worst of the worst that are available.
Okay. No, they want the worst of the worst. So here's
why do they want the worst of the worst?
Okay, well let me just finish my point and then we'll get to whatever nonsense you want to talk about. Listen, I put up with this tantantrica garbage.
Atantrica, by the way.
Very good. Here's what it feels like to me. She sends Harley out. Harley, like you got a guy who can shoot fire.
Mm-hmm.
You've got a guy who's the best shot in the world.
Yep.
You've got
he's so good.
Yeah,
they call him Deadshot.
You got magic person over here. You got magic sword lady over here, and you got Harley Quinn, who is a lady with a hammer. Big fucking deal.
And she doesn't even carry the hammer that much. She carries a bat.
She carries a bat.
Yeah.
Big fucking deal.
Because the hammer is kind of corny.
Here's what it feels
Let's
like
face
to
it,
me,
and also it's
I was shocked they didn't go with.
Okay.
Was We need the worst of the worst.
Yeah.
Oh, how do you get the Joker? You put Harley out there.
Yeah.
The Joker will show up.
Yeah.
The second the Joker shows up, we've got the Joker. We don't need Harley. Harley's useless.
Yeah.
The only reason we got Harley is, and they're right. Like the way the movie ends with putting her in a cell. What happens? Joker shows up.
Yeah.
You know, what you needed then was.
Handily has his name on his,
yeah, it's very
his
nice.
SWAT uniform.
What you then need at the extra end scene is like,
yeah,
great. And a cage drops down over both of them.
Ooh.
And now and you've got.
Sympathy for the Devil plays again.
Yeah. Now you've got the worst of the worst. The whole point was to get the Joker.
Woo.
Who cares about her? And then now she's got an interesting thing because she's, you know, been used. She thought she was, you know, her own free spirit.
Yeah.
She was separate from the Joker.
Yeah.
No, you're just the Joker's girlfriend. Not just to the criminals,
yeah,
to us. And that makes us shit. And that really frees you as a character to just lose it and do stuff. And it makes you really, really interesting.
Okay.
But they didn't do that.
No.
They just had the Joker be a thing. It was a fucking Joker.
Okay, so in the film, we kind of missed this part of it, I think.
Because I just skipped to the end.
They're in prison. We established that.
Bellerive.
We established that.
A prison that's got like abandon all hope, ye who enter here.
I believe the prison's called House of the Rising Sun.
Okay.
They firmly established that at the beginning of the movie.
Right.
That they're in the House of the Rising Sun.
Right.
By playing that song.
Right. So that makes sense that there is a Japanese lady
in New Orleans.
Because she is from the land of the Rising Sun.
She's from the land of the Rising Sun. She got mixed up. She thought they're the same thing. She didn't realize one is a brothel,
yeah,
/ prison.
By the way, she is the good guy who's with them,
yeah,
for no apparent reason. She is not the worst of the worst.
She's the best of the best. And
she's
also
simply the best.
Better
shouldn't
than
be all with the rest. On the wrong fucking team.
So
took the wrong SAT test.
So of course, these people are terrible. Right?
I signed evil. I'm sorry, I don't speak English very well.
Happened?
Did I? Oh shit.
Oh,
I'm
God
on the
damn
bad
it.
Guy
I'm
team
worst
now.
Of the worst. So we established that, of course, yeah, this is abandon all hope, ye who enter here.
Yeah, nice prison.
It's a beautiful prison, yeah. Prison guard, main prison guard, played by Todd from The Mindy Project.
All right.
And so his character is the jerk.
Yeah.
So he's a jerk,
yeah,
to all the prisoners. So we get to see him, like, give food in a mean way to one character. And do
little insults.
Insults the little other characters. Spray water on one character, which seems like a little over the top.
Yeah.
For whatever the transgression was, you know. But and then we find out that this guy is a degenerate gambler and owes a lot of money,
yeah,
to some guy who has sold his IOU chits to guess who? The Joker. So that tells us something.
Mm-hmm.
That gives us, oh, this guy's in trouble. This guy, and even when he passes a phone to her, I was listening to a review and the person said, I don't know how Harley Quinn got a phone. Well, weren't you watching the movie? She got it from the prison guard who got it from Joker. Anyway.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, oh, you didn't pick that up either?
I'm mistaking two guards together.
Okay.
Like there was the scumbag who was like kissing her. Are we talking about that guy or a different guy? The guy who was like wanting to kiss her that's the guy from the Mindy Project?
Yeah.
Because he had a mustache, didn't he?
Yeah, you can grow a mustache or have it when and paste it onto
your face. Okay, I thought it was a different guy than the Mindy Project guy.
Oh, no, I'm pretty sure it's the same guy. Maybe I'm wrong.
I think you're wrong.
Okay, that's fine.
Because one of my problems with this was, well, the ambulance just stopped here.
Oh.
So let's hope it's not for us. Okay, hope everyone's okay downstairs. No, because I think it's a different guy, because when Harley is leaving... she says,
guys,
to the
as long
guy,
as the ambulance is parked outside, you can just keep on drinking.
Fair enough.
That's part of the game.
When Harley is leaving,
still there.
She says to him something like, you're so screwed.
Yeah, that's the thing.
But I don't think that's him. I think it's a different guy. I think it's a different guy. And it never
a different
really
actor
pays off.
Or different?
Different actor, I think.
No, it's the same character. It's the same prison guard.
Okay, I'll have to watch this again.
Yeah,
damn
you'll have
your
to
eyes.
Watch this freaking film again.
All right.
Because, yeah, that's because he's the only guard who we're introduced to. So it would make no sense to have another guard.
Do we ever see the payoff for that guy?
No, we do. That's what I was coming to. Like, we end up. Yeah, she gives the phone. He gives the phone to Harley, so she realizes that he's connected to the Joker, and she says, "You're in big trouble now."
Right.
And it never pays off. We never find out why he's in big trouble, what the big trouble would involve, mm-hmm. who, you know, where is it taking place? Little China? We don't know. It doesn't pay off.
I've heard there's some big trouble that
happened. Some big trouble that happening there. So that's why I brought it up. But so that's so weird. So, you know, once again, the film was re-edited after the director was finished with the film. The film was taken away from him,
mm-hmm.
taken back into the secret hideout owned by Warner Brothers.
Okay.
And from there, they started to add weird and made it into a bunch of flashbacks at the beginning of the film. You do not want a bunch of flashbacks in your movie. If you cannot tell your story without fucking flashbacks, then you are a failure as a writer.
Though let me
opinion.
Say this.
Yes.
Speaking of the world of Zack Snyder,
mm-hmm.
The flashback opening was the best part of Watchmen. But it was done well over music, the Bob Dylan music.
Yeah.
So you can do it well if you want to.
I guess, but it's...
I yield the floor back to Mr. Dedrick now that he's been proven wrong.
No, well, it's not that I was proven wrong. I mean, it is a flashback sequence, you're right, but...
We may be getting a lot of sirens here tonight, folks, so...
I feel
if you want to play the game, play the game.
If you want a flashback sequence, then maybe you should have one, not 15, or how many there were.
Right.
The other issue with the film is a big problem, which is a character, well, two problems. One is a little character that I like to call the Enchantress, who is not only the worst archaeologist of all time, whose name is inexplicably June Moon.
Yeah.
What? I know. Yeah. Maybe it's from the comic. I don't know.
It is.
But I feel like you can maybe change that for a movie.
Yeah, you can.
You're not married to June Moon.
Nope.
You don't need that.
Nope.
Once you say June Moon, your reaction is, well, that's dumb.
Yep.
So I don't know if people know who the Enchantress is. I didn't know who the Enchantress was before I started watching the film. There's an archaeologist.
Yeah.
She's looking through a cave.
Yeah.
She finds a cave. It looked a lot like the cave from Land of the Lost.
All right.
So you may be a little nervous that you're going to see one of those
slee stacks
in there. It's not a slee stack. It's fine. She finds a jar. She's an archaeologist, so she knows what to do, which is pick the jar up right away, then break it. Like all archaeologists do, the first thing you do is break things in this fabulous thing that you found.
Yeah.
She is then possessed.
She yells Mazel Tov.
She yells Mazel Tov, throws it in the corner. Then she jumps on it. She wraps it in a napkin and stabs on it. She's then filled with the spirit of the Enchantress.
Right.
And the Enchantress, I don't know how to describe her character. Other than as interesting go-go dancer.
Okay.
Pretty good?
All right.
Kind of, you know, like when she can be fully dressed, wearing like her polo shirt and some nice chinos.
Well, I disagree. She's fully dressed because she doesn't smile, and you're never fully dressed without a smile.
I'm talking about June Moon.
Very good.
June is fully dressed.
Right.
Wearing her whatevers because she's an archaeologist, as we've already established.
Okay.
And then when the Enchantress takes over, which seems to involve her grabbing her hand from underneath her hand.
It's actually a cool effect.
I'll and turning around. I liked it.
It was nice. A cool effect.
Because it was done in a very simple way.
Well, because it becomes...
Which I liked it.
It did something that was similar to what it did...
I gotta
read something really quick here.
Okay.
Sorry about
go ahead.
That.
I'll just finish what I'm saying.
Okay, very good. Sorry, I just wondered if there was a fire at my house. There is not. The neighbors are just barbecuing way too close.
Oh, okay. That's
fine. Okay, here's what I was going to say.
The ambulance is gone, so stop drinking.
They did a similar thing that happened in the Avengers 2, which you had a character that seemed more like she was coming out of a horror movie than a superhero movie, which was interesting, kind of a Ring Girl type situation.
Okay.
So with Scarlet Witch, she would like shut doors quickly, do creepy things, just be behind you, get into your mind, give you a nightmare, make things float.
Sure.
And with Enchantress, she just had like weird teleportation powers, would be like right behind you. You didn't know where she was.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, creepy. She looked like she was from a different genre of movie
or,
you know, comic, which is great. That part,
and
fine.
And also she had a bikini and she looked like a go-go dancer. And then I'm going to jump a little ahead in the film. And then there's a sequence. It's very popular now for movies to have a beam going up into the sky.
Mm-hmm.
That seems to be all the rage. I don't know why. I guess it's an easy computer effect.
It's pulling a Ghostbusters.
It's already there.
Yeah.
So they can just like go into their, you know, into their like little toolbox of previously completed computer effects, beam in the sky. Well, let's pull that out. So they pull it out.
Yeah.
So she's running the beam. I'm not too sure what she's doing. There's a lot of things spinning in the air.
I don't think it matters.
But what was it her choice? Was it the director's choice? I want you to kind of do the Watusi in front of this beam. Like, you can't see it. I know you can't see it. It's just a green screen in front of you. But what I want you to picture is, you know, beam going in the sky.
Yep.
Some stuff swirling in the air.
Yep.
And then I want you to kind of go-go dance. I want you to kind of move like you're trying to, I don't know what you're trying to do. You're trying to like, maybe you're doing the worm on the floor, but you're standing up. Like, and you're kind of sort of doing that for like 45 minutes. That's what I'd like. Just you doing that forever.
And what do you want as a character, Enchantress?
Yeah, what is your goal here?
Yeah.
What is your end game?
What is your end game? And like when people talk about, you know, Harley Quinn and the sexy outfits and is this like a bad thing or not, whatever. I think the more disturbing female character in this is definitely June Moon, one for the name, which makes you forget Harley Quinzel. Well, your name is Harley Quinn now. Oh, that's convenient for the Joker.
Yeah.
Harley Quinzel. Okay, fair enough. But she's got no character when she's normal. No. Like she's, you
she's
know,
always sleeping.
The whole thing is like her and Rick love each other.
Well, that's
show me.
That's the other
why
problem.
Why does Rick, who's a non-character himself, Rick,
that's what I was, yeah, that's
Rick,
my
I believe Rick yeah. Flag, Jesus Rick Flag. Christ.
Yeah.
So Rick Flag loves her. Why?
Rick Flagg.
No reason. There's no, a
there's
little
two
thing.
G's, so I believe it's pronounced Flagg.
Sure.
Yeah.
There's nothing ever between them that makes you go, oh, I see why these two like each other. You know, there's never anything later where he tries to reach out to her mm-hmm. and try to get through to the woman he loves by a way that, you know,
yeah.
that's just fucking
understand.
Standard movie shit, man.
Yeah.
A little fight between her. Is she putting up any resistance for the Enchantress? You know, what's the deal? Are yeah. they kind of merging a little bit?
Yeah. Do we see, yeah. Do we see her character trying to battle its way out where we see the Enchantress weaken a little bit? You know, maybe some drops of perspiration, something to show yeah. that it's an effort,
or maybe,
even an effort to run the big beam.
Or maybe something, since you're an archaeologist, where you could talk to Rick and just go, here's the research I've done on this.
Yeah.
I was familiar with the cave I was in. It's
yeah.
this, 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 and this. And the Enchantress is trying to stop her from giving the information.
Sure.
You could do a lot of shit.
Yeah, could
be
do
all
lots
fine.
Of
okay.
But yeah, that was the other problem I was going to bring up. I said there's two, her, the Enchantress, but also, yeah, this stick in the mud, Rick Flagg, that character is, well, one, it's, I heard it was supposed to be Tom Hardy, but he was otherwise occupied. Maybe saw the script and said, no, thank you. But
well, he just was in a Batman movie. It would be weird for him to be
I guess.
Immediately in this.
But he had agreed to it. It's just that his
yeah.
His schedule interfered with the movie. So they brought in an actor that I'm not familiar with. I know he was in a TV show called The Killing.
Okay.
But I feel like he didn't really bring a lot of personality to the role.
He's the good guy.
He's supposed
to
be
the good guy.
Yeah, supposed to be.
Except the whole idea behind this is it's bad.
Yeah.
So what you need from Rick Flagg is you need him to go up against Amanda Waller and go, this
yeah.
isn't ethical. I'm not going to do these things you said
yeah.
because they're wrong. And also, you know, basically she's saying, go kill your girlfriend who you love. You got it, ma'am.
Yeah, that's right.
Hey, guys, listen, here's what we're going to do. We're going to go kill all the people.
Yeah.
All right.
And I'm not going to have much problem with it.
We're gonna get even to the bigger problems in this. Let me get another minor problem.
Okay.
Here's
these are minor that I'm talking about.
Here's no. I mean, because these are small compared to the whole movie makes no fucking sense.
Yes.
Like the whole movie makes no sense.
Yes.
So you got a character called Katana.
Yes.
Which
that's not her real name, by the
which
way.
Which is someone else said, like, naming her after the sword is like she might as well be called Nunchucks. You know, it's just
yeah.
a ridiculous name. Okay, and but
well,
this,
and
but,
the Nunchucks name would be more apt.
So they set her up with like she's not a bad guy. Oh, why is she with the team? We never say. We never say why
well,
she's with the team.
Rick Flagg brought her in, but we
yeah.
don't know why.
Why is this Japanese woman
yeah.
fighting on this American team that's with Rick Flagg
for
America?
Mm-hmm.
You know, why is she fighting on it? Okay. But then they lay down like, here's her deal.
Yeah.
Okay. She's got a sword. This sword is magic.
Yes.
Oh, what's the deal with it? Well, they say that her husband's soul is in the sword.
Well, it takes your soul when it kills you.
Right, right. But also they say
so
her husband's soul is in the sword.
He was killed by the sword, yeah.
Right. So she can talk to him in the sword.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's interesting. Now that we're fighting a magic character over here,
yeah.
we might want to talk to our magic sword
okay.
and say to magic sword, what can you see or what do you know? Can
yeah.
you speak to any of the dead and find out what this is or something? My husband tells me this. Just the basic fucking, you've got a ghost
yeah.
husband
sure.
who knows shit. Talk to your sword. Like you say she talks to her sword. We never see her talk to the sword. The other thing.
She prays to it before the final.
She prays to it, but it doesn't
yeah.
talk back. Let's hear the sword
well,
talk.
Did she say that she can talk to
yes,
it?
Yes, she talks
okay.
to the sword. Also in the comics, she talks to the sword.
Oh,
but
they said
in the film, she talks to her sword because it's her husband.
I took it as like, it was a one-way conversation.
All right. So the other thing is, the sword takes the souls of those that it kills.
Yes.
Okay. That's interesting. Let's see it.
I don't know if it's, I call it interesting, but okay, go ahead.
Well, if you had a thing where you killed somebody
yeah.
and then their soul got sucked out and absorbed into the sword, that'd
yeah.
be interesting, visual. But here's
oh yeah, that would be interesting.
But here's the problem, is she ends up fighting all of these blackberries, as you say, people who have been changed into these blackberry-type characters.
Yes.
All right, she kills them all. Now, you can go one of two ways. One, the sword takes the souls of those people too.
They're people.
Which would
be transformed.
Which would be disturbing because
yeah.
why would those people deserve to have their souls trapped in a sword forever? Or better than that is this move. You kill the first person and she looks at the sword and goes, there is no soul in that person. Now we're cool. Now we don't feel bad about killing these people because their souls have moved on. We know that it's okay to do that.
Yeah.
You've now given license to really go fucking nuts.
Okay.
Instead of maybe going, maybe you could turn these people back. Maybe
yeah.
there's a magic spell And at the end of blowing this thing up, everyone turns back and breaks out of it Ghostbusters style and they stop being a dog and become, you know, Rick Moranis. But no, you could use it. But they never do anything with this, like, I've got a magic sword that absorbs souls. Man, but who fucking cares?
Yeah.
Bullshit. Nah, it's done. Oh, who fucking cares? So all they do with her is have Boomerang flirt with her a little bit. And her be like, I don't know, Boomerang. I don't care about you. Maybe I'll care about you later, though. Maybe we'll less won't us. I don't know. Golly gee. That's her voice.
Captain Boomerang had one of the truest moments in the film, though, where when Rick Flagg frees them all.
Yeah.
Because we'll just point out that they have a exploding pellet put into their neck in order to control them. Because, by the way, everybody, they're worst of the worst.
Right.
We've established and that. The worst of the worst available at that time.
Right. And let me say this about that. Here's what that means. So they have a pellet in their neck. And if they don't do what they're told, then they're killed.
Yes.
So here's what that means about those characters. Fun fact, that means they're slaves. So you've basically just turned...
Well, I think...
Let me just finish this. You've turned Will Smith into a slave.
Mm-hmm.
How's that going to go over with Will Smith's Deadshot character? That you've just made him a slave. That Rick Flagg is now making you his slave.
It's not really Flagg. I mean, he's just another part of... Another
but he doesn't know about Amanda Waller, right?
Okay.
He thinks it's Rick Flagg because Amanda Waller is behind the scenes.
Sure.
It is a woman of color who's doing this, takes a bit of the fucking edge off. But you making these people slaves, especially someone who's African-American, that's not the best thing in the fucking world.
Sure.
Okay.
Especially someone with blonde hair who wears hot pants.
Another thing there. It's
crazy. It's even worse. Where was I going with that? Because I had something I was saying, and then you interrupted
then
me, and
I think it was pretty unfair. That was relevant.
I think it was pretty unfair. Oh, when he frees them, Captain Boomerang's like, oh, good, okay, I'm going. Bye. And he leaves. That should have been it.
And then he comes back because he's a fucking boomerang, and he always comes back.
He always comes back. Well, if...
Boomerangs always come back.
but if they could have established a rapport between him and Katana... His coming back would make sense.
Yes! Then he's got a fucking reason. Yeah. Exactly. Makes sense. All right. Here's the biggest about the whole thing.
Okay.
Is
here's the biggest sting having tantric sex about the whole thing.
All right. Let me just do a setup and then deliver the biggest thing.
Okay.
They start off with the guy, like in the trailer and also in the movie, they go, you know, what if someone broke into the White House, what if Superman flew into the White House and took the president? Yeah. What would we do?
Not very much, because it's Superman.
Yeah, that's the problem.
What are those guys going to do with this boomerang?
Right, exactly. So you're going to send the boomerang guy?
Can't even
the guy who shoots guns? Are you going to shoot send the lady with a wooden bat? Are you going to send the lady with the magic sword? Maybe. Magic can beat Superman. That's possible. Maybe Sword Lady could do it.
But he's faster than she is.
Right. Enchantress, perhaps. Mm-hmm. That's a fair point.
Okay.
But none of the rest of this shit makes sense. What are you going to do? You're going to get the president back from Superman doing this? No. And also... Dude, Superman's not the issue. We've in this world, we've had like aliens attack. That's your problem, man.
Yeah.
Is that there's aliens out there. Yeah. That's your hassle.
The aliens are resurgent. I think we've already established that.
Yeah. Okay. So, but here's the biggest problem is so first of all, the pitch for it makes no sense.
Yeah.
Like, oh, you're right. That is a good point. We should do that. When they actually send Enchantress to go get something from, I think, Iraq or someplace and get some plans and she can teleport in and out, then it's like, oh, that's neat. Yeah. We could use her. Because she can do covert shit in other countries. And as you say, now we're there. Now we can covertly go into other countries and do that. So you're right. The entire movie has to take place in another country.
Which
makes no sense. But then when you look at the entire plot, there's no problems. There's no problems. They bring these people into this thing. And the only problem is the Suicide Squad itself.
Yes.
One of them turns evil and they have to rescue Amanda Waller. They have to rescue her. That's the only thing they've got to do.
Yeah.
And because of her fuck up, this person then wakes up her brother for no goddamn reason. There's no reason we need to have another person with the exact same powers as the person we've got, except a man.
Interesting design, though. It kind of recalled Kirby in the way they drew the...
Right. You've got them as brother-sister. Okay. So if you're going to have a brother-sister villain thing, you need at one point to have either the sister or the brother go, this is wrong, sister. This is wrong, brother. Now I fight against you. Yes. And then they fight against each other.
Yeah.
But no, they're
doesn't
both...
happen.
We have the same powers and we have the same motivation, which is very vague, and we're both going to destroy the world together. Yes. We will.
Yeah.
Why do we need two of us?
Yeah.
No need at all for this to be two of us. I could just do this on my own. No reason. Okay. So the only reason they're gathering these guys together is because Amanda Waller fucked up. So in the end, All that's happened is Amanda Waller has gotten many people in the city killed. It's entirely her fault. Her plan is fucked up entirely, and she's destroyed almost an entire city.
Yeah.
She's killed hundreds to thousands of people. And by the end of the movie, everyone's still acting like, well, I guess this all worked out. No! Yes. You are in Belle Reve now too, yeah. Amanda Waller. You're worse than them. The worst of the worst is you. You're worse than the Joker. The yes. Joker is less selfish.
I think they do establish that in the film when she shoots her entire staff. Because they didn't have clearance to see what they saw.
Right, which was her rescue.
What?
So she sacrifices all these people yeah. who are innocent to save herself. Mm-hmm. So she is now a reprehensible person.
Well,
yet
yes.
there's no payoff. Like, you could actually see if, like, she was doing this for the greater good and she could somehow justify this. But there's no justification. And then by the end, and again, I missed the end scene. I just read what it was. Batman's there.
Oh, you left?
I left because I went, fuck it, who cares? I don't even care to stay through this. There's nothing they could do to redeem this movie. I left. Mm. And then I read, like, she has a scene with Batman.
Yes.
Where the two of them are like begrudgingly respectful of each other.
Mm.
Well, fuck you, Batman, because this is the worst person.
No, he thinks that what she's doing is wrong.
But not that wrong, because he should punch her in the face and take her to Belle Reve. She has killed thousands of people.
He doesn't know. He doesn't know that, though.
Well, fuck he Batman for being a dummy.
He doesn't know that both.
Batman is a dumb fuck.
Yeah, I mean, there's lots of stuff that we know that other people don't know. The other strange both thing
Batman,
about
sorry,
the film...
I'm just going to say, both Batman and Amanda Waller
yeah.
in these two movies are reprehensible dumb fucks
yes.
who cause all the problems
okay.
that happen in their movies
sure.
and are responsible for, like, Batman basically is responsible for Superman's death at the end of that film. If Batman wasn't fucking around, you know, and had a fucking spear and was beating up fucking Superman and messing him up, we wouldn't have a dead Superman at the end of this shit, you know?
I didn't know he was dead.
Oh, sorry about
spoilers,
that.
Spoilers, everyone.
Sorry about that. Listen, if we're spoiling this, we're spoiling that. Batman is the villain of the last one. Amanda yeah. Waller is the villain of that one. These two bumbling badass boobs, you know, meet together at the end.
Ooh, nice,
and talk about and talk about how, you know, don't worry, I'm forming a team and we're gonna get this shit straight. Oh, that's great. Another asshole forming a fucking team who's responsible for all the shit that is the problem. You don't need villains. You're worse than the villain. She is clearly worse than the Joker in this damn thing.
Yeah.
Much worse than the Joker. The only thing that makes Joker a little worse is offering a Harley Quinn, you know, to another person possibly,
yeah.
you know, for sex, possibly.
Who then respectfully declines because,
right.
yo, she's your woman. Oh, okay, well, I'll kill you. Like, okay. Like, I guess we established that he's randomly villainous, mm-hmm. that we can't predict what he will do because he's so crazy and also his teeth have gold on them.
So what you need in this is you need that the villains in there realize that they're better than the person who's bossing them around.
Yeah.
They need to realize this shit.
Sure, and that should happen earlier. Shouldn't be at the end of the film.
Yeah. Well, I don't even think they realize it at the end. I don't think they realize that they've been completely...
Yeah.
They actually look a little bit happy at the end, with the exception of Captain Boomerang. They all get like, would you like your going away prizes?
Well, yeah, that's the outrageous part of the end of the movie. It's like, yeah, Killer Croc's Cable.
Yeah, B.E.T. Because we're playing him up as that kind of stereotype.
Harley Quinn gets an espresso machine. Captain Boomerang just asks for something. You know, he just asks, well, can I... at least not go to jail or whatever. Oh no, you're going back to jail. And then you're going back to jail. You get nothing.
Yeah.
You get a room and we're going to laugh at you through a window. Like,
yeah.
Well,
a person who was just risking his life.
Yeah.
He came back when he didn't need
yeah,
to.
He
to
came
save
back.
The world.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
And all he has is two boomerangs, which isn't much, honestly. Let's
what
face
you need
it.
With Captain Boomerang
is something interesting to happen.
Is a scene where you got to use a fucking boomerang.
Yeah.
Okay. So here's how you
where you need a boomerang, not just randomly.
Here's how you play this Captain
okay.
Boomerang, right?
You've been thinking about this?
Yes, I have, because it's like, why do you have boomerang there?
Yeah.
What
I
you
agree.
Need is, because at least in the comics, well, in the comics, the reason.
How about if he was called Sonic Boomerang and his boomerangs went really fast?
I think he does have some Sonic boomerangs.
Oh, okay.
In the comics, the idea generally was that these were characters that were kind of disposable, that DC wasn't using much anymore,
mm-hmm.
that you could actually kill off.
Like the Sinister Six?
Well, no, those were all fairly popular characters.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, you'd have someone like, you know, a Bronze Tiger. Who's that? I don't know. Who cares? We can kill him off. How about the Fiddler? Fiddler? Who's that? I don't know. Fucking kill him off. Captain Boomerang. Ugh, that character sounds terrible. I know. You can kill him off anytime. But the thing with Captain Boomerang was he had fought the Flash a lot. So if there was something along the way he had learned that would help, you could do it. What you need to do is you need to set up that he has fought the Flash in the past. And this is a guy who's able to fight someone who moves faster than he can see, because you're fighting someone who is a teleporter.
Yeah.
And so what Captain Boomerang has to do is assume where the person is going to arrive.
Yeah.
You know, and so it's very similar fighting the Flash as fighting a teleporter. So he can throw a boomerang. She then arrives in front of him. He knows that's where she was going to be. And that's when it hits, because that's his experience, is fighting someone that moves faster than he can do.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's what you should do. You should also have with like Deadshot. What's he used to fighting? He's used to fighting Batman or something. Okay. Well, I'm used to fighting a guy who's in the dark, who I never see. So I've got to do this. Well, this person now is in the dark. I've got to shoot something that I can't see, but I have to now sense where it is. And Harley Quinn has to do, I'm going to do some crazy shit no one can predict. And I'm going to be crazier than this goddess of madness.
Yeah.
And I'm going to just go for it. And she's going to beat them that way.
Instead, what you get is everything is wrong. You get a film that's, the setting is in Midville, United States, which I assume is halfway between Gotham City and Metropolis. And so you have them on home soil. So it makes absolutely no sense for them to be used in this situation because
it's a domestic situation.
Why? They're not. There's lots of people who can handle this. We've already seen the Flash in the film. We know Batman's there, so we know that there is a group of people who can take care of domestic crises who are metahumans. And then the other weird thing about the film is you've got the Suicide Squad. Here's this special group that are specially tasked with these sort of difficult problems, and then you add 50 soldiers to it. Well, what are they there for? Do we need 50 soldiers? And so the very first scene in sort of action scene in the film that we have with these characters is a shoot 'em up between the BlackBerry people and I'm not talking about Research in Motion.
Yeah.
Just talking about the black people. They look like BlackBerry. Their heads are all swollen and purplish. Yeah. So like BlackBerries.
Right.
So
like the phone.
Just like the phone, swollen and purplish. Just like the company.
Just like Donald Trump's penis.
Just like Donald Trump's penis after tantric sex with Sting. The so they have this giant shoot 'em up with these people, but it is the most boring shoot 'em up you'll ever watch in your life. For one thing, there's absolutely no sense of risk. Mm-hmm. There's no one is ever under any risk at all. And there's a scene where Deadshot stands on a car and just shoots every single person you're like playing a video game.
Yeah.
So you're just getting this video game shoot up where he just is shooting. And I'm not even describing enough shooting by using that word enough. And, and part of the problem for me was almost every scene in this movie takes place at night. Once the action starts, you're sitting in a theater wearing sunglasses, which are also called 3D glasses. Mm-hmm. I saw it in 3D because nowadays the best times to watch a movie are 3D. Well, you want to see it in regular thingy? Yeah. You can go at 2 p.m. and 10:30 at night. There you go. How do you like that, sucker? So you're here in the movie, you're watching this thing, and you can barely tell what's going on. And he's just the guy standing on a car going bam, 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 bam. You can't even see who he's shooting after a while. It's just him.
Which should
bam,
be exciting.
Bam.
That should be your
so boring.
Every one of them should get a sweet scene that you go, shit.
Yeah.
I want to see them in future movies.
Not boring. Shit. Not boring.
Here's the worst thing about the Deadshot situation.
The Deadshot.
Yes. Personally, I don't think this is a bigger problem, but I don't think Deadshot and Harley Quinn should be in the same movie. That's a mistake.
Aren't they on the team, though, in reality, in the comics?
No, Harley Quinn's not on the
team. Oh, she's just included because she's a popular cosplay character.
Yeah, she might be on the team. She might be on the team now, but in the old days she wasn't. Yeah, she's probably on the team now. But here's the worst thing with the Deadshot thing, is they have the scene where it's Batman is the biggest asshole in the world. He's walking with his kid through an alley.
Yeah.
And Batman shows up.
To arrest him. Yeah, with his daughter there.
Couldn't
wait till he got her home.
No.
And then arrest him there when he's walking out.
So either one of two things. One, he's either using the daughter because he knows
shield.
As a human shield.
Yeah.
Batman is using the daughter as a human shield, which literally happens because he pulls his gun out. She jumps in front of his gun, almost getting shot.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you're going okay, so either no, that's what he was doing. He was using him as a human shield. Okay.
Her
so basically what Batman is doing is a bizarro version of his origin story.
Okay.
Batman's worst memory is him walking through an alley as a kid with his parents.
Yeah.
Someone sneaks up behind him and shoots his parents.
Yeah.
That's his worst memory. So he's doing that now with Deadshot and his daughter. Mm-hmm. He's giving the daughter this fucking memory.
Yeah.
Fuck you, Batman, you piece of shit. You piece of fucking shit. That it's, is worse yes. than anything any of those villains do. That's something that's worse than any of, like, even the Joker does.
Yeah.
That's the worst thing that anyone does in the movie, is use a little girl as a human shield. And that's what fucking Batman does. Then we later see him underwater trying to rescue Harley. She has a little snapping thing. That's a good
yeah.
little scene.
Yeah.
Because she's like a shark. He punches her in the face.
Yeah.
That's great. brings her up, gives her yeah. CPR, creepy, yeah. whatever. And then, you know, next time we see him, he's like talking to Amanda Waller like they're, you know, reluctant buddies who
yeah.
maybe we both can learn a little something from each other.
Yeah.
Woman who just killed thousands of people in a city.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you fucking idiot.
With the Harley Quinn character, and that's interesting, I did not know that she was not part of the original team.
Yeah, she wasn't part of the original. And, well, she wasn't around because she came in with the cartoon series.
There you go.
And then
that's my problem with her character, is she feels like she's voiced by the woman Annie Potts from Ghostbusters, you know, that kind of, you know, Joker. Then yeah. you know, I'm doing a bad, terrible imitation there, but you know what I mean? That kind of grating. Is that what her voice is like?
A little bit, yeah.
And
she's very old timey 1930s movie.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, boss.
Yeah.
Ah, jeez.
Yeah,
ah,
a gun God. Mall. A gun mall, oh, but one wearing, yeah. a Joker suit.
Sure, yeah, right.
And is she actually boy. Crazy in the thing, or just.
Yeah, she's a little crazy. Yeah.
Okay,
a
bit. Okay.
She's whatever the fucking writers need.
I can see her working in an animated version where it's okay to have, yes, that kind of Bugs yeah. Bunny kind of reality. But in the film, and it might just be the fact that after Deadpool, after Guardians of the Galaxy were popular and people were laughing because they had jokes in them, that they yeah. felt like, oh, we need to put some jokes and have her character be a bit more of a wise ass. And so you get these weird cutaways to her. So they're not integrated into the movie.
Yeah.
It's stuff's happening here. You know, Deadshot standing in a car for 4 hours shooting at things. And then you have this weird cutaway to her doing swinging her back and hitting something and then making a little wisecrack.
Yeah.
And it never works because they're never integrated into the conversations. They're always just taking place off in some weird, like, alternate yeah. part of the film.
Well, style-wise, I don't think, like, character-wise, in the cartoon, she's wearing a Harlequin outfit. She's the Joker's partner.
Yeah.
It kind of built over time. People really liked the character. Mm-hmm. And then they got into a thing about, like, they kind of have a bit of an abusive relationship.
Oh.
But they have an abusive relationship in a very cartoony way, right?
Okay.
But he's also this kind of character.
Yeah.
And she's Archie's. Yeah. And so they're both doing that,
she's
right?
She's the Mrs. Stella Mocker, whatever her name is, kind of a character.
Tessmacher.
Tessmacher, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So, and he's playing high camp, and she's yeah. playing high camp. And so they do some dark stuff in the mm-hmm. in the cartoon.
Sure.
Very good. And the Joker's a dark character in the animated series. But in this case, she's playing the cartoon character, but yeah. she's also playing it like real life sex
yeah.
type thing, like in real short shorts. So it's like, okay, now we're in a weird area. And then when you get the Joker going, hey, you want to fuck my girlfriend?
Yeah.
Whoa. What? Okay. We got to pick a style, a second, Jack. Guy. We got to yeah. pick a style because we can't have, oh, yeah, sure, sure. I'll do you. Like, no, we can't. Whoa. Whoa.
One of you is
a Warner Brothers okay, cartoon.
Okay, I got to say, it's ringing my bells. Okay. But that's
okay,
only,
well,
that's me.
That's
me.
What you can get on the pornography yeah. sites you like so damn much. Look it up. There is a XXX version of this film that you may enjoy,
I'm glad you know that.
A plot that makes better sense.
Probably does, actually.
Yeah.
Because at least they know what the goal
thematically,
is.
Thematically, I don't think these two characters work together. You know, mm-hmm. the real hardcore, I like torturing you.
Yeah.
I'm going to hurt you real bad. Now I'm doing Jack Nicholson. But, you know. Yeah, more down. I'm going to hurt you real bad. Oh, boy. Circle gets the square.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know if thematically these two styles of characters go well together. And the other problem is that they do set up that this is an abusive relationship.
Yeah.
And they end with them
he
together.
He makes her jump into a barrel of cream. I don't know what it is.
It's whatever. It's the, you know, you kind of, okay. If
that's
if
another weird part of the movie, right?
What's
is
that?
Like the kind of instant origin story of Harley Quinn. Like, okay, she's a doctor. We yeah. know this because she's wearing glasses.
Yeah.
This is our first clue. Hair back, hairpin back,
yeah.
glasses. Doctor. Somehow she becomes...
Stockholm Syndrome.
Stockholm Syndrome. She's actually not in prison. She's not trapped by the Joker.
Or is she?
But we don't see the transformation. We don't get a sense of why it's happening. We don't understand what her weakness is that lets the Joker into her mind.
Right, but they set up the situation of like, You know, he's very charming to her. And so he seduces her. But then we never see that seductive side to the Joker again. You know, it's like, so what you
need. We don't see the control he has.
That's right. He's always just like a straight up bastard later on.
Yeah.
You know, in the comic.
Yeah, he abandons her in the car. He basically just leaves her.
There's a comic called Mad Love written by Paul Dini and drawn by Bruce Timm. And in that they show their first meeting.
Okay.
And what he does is he talks about when he was a little kid and, you know, he would try to make his dad laugh. And so he'd do a thing where like he'd drop his pants. And, you know, I do this. And so they're both laughing together at this. And then he goes, and then dad clocked me in the face. Pow. And he plays up that he was abused as a kid.
Okay.
And, you know, all this stuff. And so you kind of buy that, like, oh, and she's feeling for the guy. And so you build it, but you can't do that in a musical montage.
No.
So we go from, like, he seems to be sort of charming to they're fooling around to, yeah, you're right, go jump in this vat to prove your loyalty, which.
But also, he electroshocks her as well.
Right. But
so,
you feel like, is that.
So where was that what she's crazy from? So she's crazy because she got electroshocked.
Well, she was already crazy because she was seduced by the Joker.
She was seduced by the Joker. Then he made her crazier by scrambling her
brains. Because he wanted to hurt her.
Then does she get her extra power from jumping into a barrel of cream that has paint in it?
Possibly.
Red and blue paint?
Who fucking knows?
Because he, you know, there's a very.
Which is the same way he got his powers, by the way.
I can't.
Or turned into the Joker. Yeah.
I can't remember if it's in the film, but in the comic Watchmen, we get to see a great sequence with Rorschach being treated by a psychiatrist who's going to cure him.
Right, showing him Rorschach tests.
Showing him Rorschach tests. But instead, the psychiatrist is slowly infected by Rorschach's bleak nihilism. That is not that hard to write. You could do it fairly quickly in a way that we understand her transformation.
Right.
From a person, obviously, who wants to help people to someone who, you know, maybe we can see in the broader picture of she begins to realize how hopeless curing these people is. So curing someone like the Joker is, curing all the people in Arkham Asylum is. And it begins to affect her and begins to bring her down. And she becomes open to his, you know, his. I'm going to say blandishments, although obviously that's the oldest word in the world. Why would I be using it? But open to his manipulation and falls prey to him. And then we understand, you know, that she's kind of falls into this weird place that he then takes advantage of and shocks her and makes her jump into a vat of cream. Because I can't understand the way they do in the film, as you're right. One of the problems with the movie, which we didn't really talk about, is an overabundance of music that's constantly covering scenes and is used in this kind of weird.
It kills character. Yeah.
Kills everything because you're not hearing them and you're not seeing them, their reactions. They're not feeling their characters.
It
not
feels
feeling
like they're doing
stuff.
Kind of a 50 Shades of Grey deal where she'll do anything for him, even have sex with another person for him. You know, and it's like, okay. But again, it's weird because the big problem is eventually they're going to fight a guy dressed as a bat and he is a clown and we got problems.
Yeah.
Now just.
It's a usual problem that you have with modern comic books nowadays is that it's a misunderstanding of what mature means.
Absolutely.
So to me,
maturity
means having children, having a job, taking care of your family, looking after, you know, that's part of maturing.
Okay.
To them, mature means people getting raped. The world is black as black can be. And so that's much more mature. And so it's an easy,
where does your character,
easy nihilism,
right?
Yeah,
but where do you end up with your characters at the end of that? Do they find the light at the end of the tunnel? Or is it constant blackness forever?
It's constant blackness forever.
Then what's the point in being the superhero?
Well, exactly.
But here's a real
But I mean,
wouldn't
you say the Killing Joke is like the kind of the ne plus ultra of that sort of attitude? But when you have Batman laughing at the end of the story with the Joker, at the world's dumbest joke you've ever heard in your life you've seen him kill. You've seen him maim a important person in Batman's life, and now he's laughing at the end of it.
Okay, we can get into the Killing Joke in a second.
I haven't seen the film. I'm just talking about.
No, it's
a
the same.
Barely
it's
remembered
the same
graphic
thing
novel
the thing.
From
the
a
only
long
thing
ago.
That's different in the film is spoilers. He has sex with Batgirl. Here's
that's very mature, everyone.
Here's a really basic problem. So in the origin that they've presented, Harley Quinn was a psychiatrist treating the Joker.
Well, you knew that because she wore glasses.
There you go. And then he gives her electroshock therapy.
Yes.
So you've got to kind of assume then that affects her brain, right?
Yes, of course.
Okay. So she's now crazy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Why is she in prison?
Because she was on the crime spree with him and was caught by Batman after
she's,
the Joker
she's
ran
crazy.
Off on her.
She should be getting treatment because she is mentally ill. She shouldn't be in... No.
Let's not treat people with the namby-pamby liberalism. What are you bringing to this world of Amanda Waller's?
What I'm bringing to this world is... You don't put a crazy person in prison. They need treatment. So either she's crazy or she's not. If she's faking being crazy and this is just a personality thing,
yeah,
I'm fine with this being in prison. Mm-hmm. But but the origin that they're giving her is the Joker literally forced her to be crazy.
Yeah.
And if that is the case, mm-hmm. Then she's shouldn't be in prison. Not only shouldn't be in prison, none of this is her fault.
Yeah.
Everyone has treated her wrong for this.
Yes.
She should just be getting fucking help.
I think.
And Batman shouldn't be punching her in the motherfucking face. That we shouldn't be feeling happy about that. Well, this is just a problem. There's a problem with the Joker in general.
I think it was a reflex.
It's like, there's a problem with the Joker in general.
Yeah.
Whereas if you do play the Joker as a criminal,
yes,
that's great. Batman punches Joker in the face.
Yeah.
If you play the Joker as Joker is actually crazy, Batman shouldn't punch the Joker in the face because Joker has no control over his own actions.
Okay.
So you might as well... Batman might as well go up and beat up a schizophrenic man.
Yeah.
You know, and would go, yay, he took down a schizophrenic man who's mentally ill. Because if you're mentally ill... That's a shitty thing to fucking do.
Sure.
And I think you really have set her up as being she's mentally ill.
Yes, but she also knows right from wrong. And
does
that,
she?
That is the thing that. What do you mean?
That's a big assumption to make.
Well, we see her in the film that she makes moral choices in the film.
She does make moral choices.
So there you go.
Even while crazy, so maybe that makes her even better than she's definitely.
No, I'm just saying that
she's definitely a better person. Let's say it's not that Batman is.
Yes. Well, yeah. Batman's terrible.
Batman's a piece of shit.
And also really puffy faced.
Yeah, well, there you go. Okay, back to the Killing Joke real quick. The Killing Joke, as you say, ends with...
I've only read the graphic novel, so I can't... Okay.
So the Batman the Killing Joke ends with, you know, Batman laughing at the Joker's joke. It feels to me like, and the mistake I think they made with the Killing Joke is they continued after that and made this part of canon and made the shooting of Barbara Gordon and the paralysis of Barbara Gordon canon, because the baggage you bring with that is that Batman and the Joker had a laugh at the end of it. If it's his own story, then basically the whole thing is like, what did the Joker want more than anything else? The Joker just wanted to get laughs. He was a comedian.
Okay.
And he was an unfunny comedian. And he never got laughs. That's what he wanted more than anything else.
Yeah.
And so at the end of all this, mm-hmm. he tells Batman a joke. Batman laughs.
Yeah.
They at least have that together.
Sure.
Things may continue. Things may end. There's even people that believe that the ending of the story is Batman kills the Joker. Because he says at the beginning, we've got to kill you. And the last thing you see is just Batman laughing with his hands sort of around the Joker.
Oh, okay.
And it could be him killing the Joker.
But if that's canon, the Joker is still alive. So that's
right.
Not
so
what
the
happened.
Whole, well, the ending makes no sense if it's canon. Mm,
yeah.
Because this kind of ending doesn't work like the next time we see you, it's all this. Bullshit.
You're saying it should have been a one-off.
It should have been just a one-off. Yeah.
One-off. Kind of like that Superman story, the great Superman
story.
You
don't need to have Barbara Gordon paralyzed. There's nothing that says she's paralyzed in the comic.
Yeah.
She just got shot, but she's okay.
Yeah.
You know, she got the pictures taken. That was terrible. She was sexually assaulted by the pictures being taken. But Gordon says, do it by the book. The Joker doesn't work. Joker doesn't win. That's the big thing in that. It's not Batman making the choice. It's Gordon making the choice going, no.
Yeah.
I had the worst thing happen to me. I was dressed like this. My daughter was this. All this stuff. No. I still believe in the law. Just bring him in by the book.
Yeah.
And that is the best part of that comic. That's, you know, it's well presented, but you're right, it doesn't
really
hold.
It really rubbed me the wrong way when I read it.
It doesn't
so long
it
ago.
Doesn't hold over
and
time.
Part of that was I loved Brian Boland for his Judge Dredd covers. Like, I really liked his art, so precise and with his little lines and everything,
and also very funny covers, the Judge Dredd covers.
And then I found that book so stiff. Like, everything
is
very stiffly drawn.
There's a scene where Batman just breaks through some mirrors, and it's just like, it's the stiffest thing in the world.
Yeah. And
it looks
just
like an action figure is being shoved through some glass.
I didn't like that. And then I think by that point I had really gotten, I mean, I like The Dark Knight a lot, which was obviously a very dark, mature work. I'm putting that in air quotes. But I just found that after Watchmen, that The Killing Joke was just, it just kind of played, it was just, I felt like that whole thing was played out. The whole rape, murder, you know, this is what it's about. People were real gritty and real. I just felt
as Alan Moore said,
let's go back to Superman family.
He was in a bad mood.
Is that right?
Alan Moore was in a bad mood for the 80s. And, you know, basically, that's what almost all of the Vertigo books after that were based on, Alan Moore's bad mood.
The Miracle Man and everything else.
To the point where, like, that was actually a pitch I was thinking for a comic, was some people who work for DC or just the comics industry whose whole job was to keep Alan Moore angry. So he would keep doing work. And so every so often they do stuff like just push something over, like a little glass of, that he's drinking. And it's like, oh, or, you know, flatten a tire in his car and just make him frustrated, or hide his keys.
But Swamp Thing... It was dark. It was a horror comic, but it didn't feel like the nihilism of Killing Joke. You know, there felt like there was a hope.
That was his first,
a hope to the love American of the characters of Abby and him. You know,
yeah.
And then I can't remember the name of this.
Start with the nihilism. You go.
I can't remember the name of the story now, but he and I think it was Dave Gibbons did a Superman story together.
Yep.
That I just loved at the time, and I
was that
honestly,
the one where it's the
it's a fantasy
plant,
one, right?
The plant goes on Superman's chest. Yeah,
yeah.
They've recreated that as an animated, and also Supergirl this season also did it.
Stop it! But I that story
they did both well.
Okay, that story is a really great story. Yeah. You know, because it's a kind of a callback to Superman family. But
the best one of the best scenes in it is Wonder Woman is entering the Fortress of Solitude. Batman's there with Robin. Robin's looking at Wonder Woman, and Batman looks over at Robin and goes, "Think clean thoughts, chum."
it's a fun book, you know. There's a great Mike Affleck comic in that Solo series.
Okay,
where he did like these sort of retro. Young Robin, young Supergirl, or young Wonder Woman character, and that kind of stuff. Having like a sleepover party and just stuff like that, right? And that's the kind of feeling that story had. And I think that's the kind of, like, let's, if we're going to do the DC Universe, how about that?
Well,
how about have some fun?
That's,
how about
that? A lot of that is the animated series. Like the Justice League Unlimited.
I've never seen that.
All the things that you're talking about, they did so well in Justice League Unlimited. Okay. They had a lot of fun with the characters.
Yeah.
They didn't, and it wasn't always like light. It was like some dark shit too, but like.
But you can leave in it with some brightness as
well.
Absolutely.
And in general, they still acted like heroes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so they've done it with that, but I think they try to make it so far from the animated stuff. You're right. They have a twisted idea of what mature is.
And
it's almost like the old Jay Leno joke about mature. Mature movies, and it's like a guy with his pants around his ankles in a stall in New Times Square.
Yeah.
You know, it's like he's watching a mature movie. How mature?
Yeah.
That's the kind of mature. I mean
a mature movie is, well, anyway, doesn't matter. But it just feels like. That whoever is overseeing the series has no concept of what a hero is, and like a superhero is or should be. And I know that we shouldn't apply those standards to Suicide Squad. These are the worst of the worst. We have established that. So we don't expect them to act well.
Right.
You know, and their choices they make near the end of the film are a little... It's hard to understand what's happening on... Well, one thing... Oh, yeah, I forgot about
this.
They're
more heroic than anyone so far in the series.
Well, that's true enough.
They're more heroic than Man of Steel.
What did Killer Croc do? He goes in the water with the other soldiers.
Yeah.
And then something's happening underwater. I'm not too clear.
I think he sets a bomb.
I
think so.
But isn't he... Is he eating the other soldiers? Or is he...
Oh, no, I don't think
Or is he attacking blackberries?
I'm not sure. I don't think there's blackberries by that
point. But he's doing some kind of struggling, it looked like to me.
I don't know.
I couldn't tell.
I was bored. Like I say, I left. I barely made it to the end. And again, I would normally always stay through the credits to see what's going on. And I just went, this is going to be online. I don't need this. Done. Bye.
I stayed for the entire credits, not just for that scene. I stayed to the very end of the film. And there may have been something at the very end of the film. I don't remember now, to be honest with you. Because what grabbed me?
It was Killer Croc singing Crocodile Rock.
That's been so good.
And they all just jammed.
I remember when
Croc was young.
Croc young, when he didn't have cable and fun. The very end of the film, you've sat through, you know, everyone who's ever, you know, done computer animation in the world, and they thank Georgia for just being a sweet peach.
Yeah.
Then the name Suicide Squad appears on the screen.
Yeah.
Did they use the font from the beginning of the film? The kind of crazy font and stuff like that? No. Why would they do that? Why would they use something they already have? Shouldn't we just spell it out, Suicide Squad, in balloon writing in, it looks like Ariel Rounded or something like that. It's like the corniest.
Because it didn't care. Like, was it, sorry,
it's
was
like it's like the newsletter.
Did it say Suicide Squad or did it say Suicide Squad will return?
No, it just said Suicide Squad.
Okay.
And it's written,
Suicide Squad,
seriously.
Suicide Squad will return seems like that would be a weird thing to say about, yeah, a Suicide Squad.
Yeah, yeah. And it just says Suicide Squad and it's written in this cheap font that's like on, it's like on everyone's computer. Like if you go to your, if you go to Word right now and you open Word and then you'll find Arial Rounded, yeah, and you can make it big and you can type out Suicide Squad and you can have the end of the movie if you want, guys, because that's all it takes.
Biggest
problem. And it's so cheap.
Oh, they didn't care.
I killed myself laughing.
Biggest problems with the movie are, let me just go through it. Biggest problems, Amanda's plot doesn't work. She's the villain. No one acknowledges that she's the villain. Second biggest problem is the only way this movie works.
There's no motivation.
Well, okay. The only way this movie works is if we've had various other movies beforehand where we've established that these are villains,
yeah,
and that we live in a world where there's heroes, so that these are the villains that fight the heroes.
Sure.
We do not have heroes in this world.
Yeah.
Superman's dead. Batman, people don't know exists. Wonder Woman, people don't know about.
Yeah.
So when you're going, these are supervillains, everyone should just look around and go, what do you mean? Supervillains,
yeah,
as opposed to
what?
Who do they fight?
Yeah.
You know, superheroes.
Well, we saw, like, Flash. We saw Flash.
Maybe, I guess.
We
so
saw
people know about
in the
Flash.
Captain Boomerang sequence.
Yeah, that's right. But maybe they know about Flash. Like when Boomerang sees him, he doesn't go,
he's the savior of the universe.
Oh, look, he's Flash.
Oh, that's different.
Yeah, it's Flash. Yeah. Well, it's Fair Dinkum.
Fair Dinkum.
Flash.
Kangaroo. Mate.
Yeah, Dingo, Flash.
I'm from Western Australia.
What's this all about, Dingo, Flash? Yeah. I'm so sorry to our Australian listener.
Platypus.
Platypus, Dingo, Flash.
We have more than one. Oh, I can't do it. We have,
yeah,
more than one Australian.
And honestly,
listener,
you need someone to go, hey, knock it off. You need at one point Captain Boomerang to drop his Australian accent. And just go.
Isn't
it was
the actor? The actor's Australian,
he is,
isn't he?
Okay. But to just go, like, it was the only way I could do this with boomerangs,
yeah,
and not be, was that, to have the Australian angle.
That's why he's called Jai Courtney instead of Jay.
So,
Australian.
Yeah. So you've got then, mm-hmm, all these guys who are the villains in all these movies. We're going to,
yeah,
take all the villains,
yes,
and put them together.
Oh, sounds
and
great.
That's great.
Sounds
but
great.
But you can't have, there's the worst of the worst. We've never met them before.
Yeah.
You're just telling us they're the worst. And then you show us what they're doing and we're going, that's not so bad. What's this guy doing? Oh, he's shooting a villain. Oh, no, he shot the bad guy? Yeah, oh, well, that's, what's Batman do? Batman sometimes kills the bad guys, too. With a Batarang, though.
Yeah.
Different.
Different.
And he doesn't get...
Different than Captain Batarang.
The Batman...
I mean, Boomerang.
Listen, Batman doesn't get paid for it.
Yeah.
Oh, would he have to get paid for it? No, he's a billionaire. Oh, so what makes him... But he's got a daughter and he's caring for her. Yeah. What's Batman do? Well, he had a Robin. Apparently, he killed that Robin because he sent him in a battle with him. Oh, seems like Deadshot's a better parent than Batman is. In fact, Deadshot's a better person six ways to Sunday than Batman.
Well,
even though he's the worst
of the worst.
Of the worst.
He is a murderer. And we do establish
so
that, he kills people that look like they're also criminals. Like, that's the other thing about the film. It shows him killing someone.
Yep.
But it's not like lady walk into her office that maybe had, she, you know, didn't notarize someone's property,
yeah,
her, they're you know, buying a house properly, and now this person's mad and hires Deadshot to kill her. No, he's hiring some informant, like mob informant. Well, you're kind of like, well,
who cares,
someone's gonna do it.
Yeah. And then
he's gonna
make
a living,
like, later
too.
Where it's just like, you know, I'm the bad guy, he says.
Yeah.
And then someone goes, yeah, but you don't kill women and children. No, I never kill women and children.
Yeah.
I just wanted at some point, like Croc, to just go, what if a person's trans? What do you do then? Are you on the fence? Do you just wound them?
What do you do? What if person trans?
What if you can't tell from a distance? What if they're intersex? What do you do? What's your policy then?
Actually, Killer Croc's character should have been this through the film.
Me just stand over here in corner. I just put on hoodie. Wait. Oh, just be over here. Well, you guys fight. I'll just stand. I won't. You're not going to cut to me during shootout sequence at all. Okay. I'll just be over here.
Also, me says established off top in that just a little bit of writing. I'm a cannibal of some sort.
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting. Do I just crave human meat through this whole thing? And is there a chance I might try to eat one of you? Because that would be like I'm a ticking time bomb,
yeah,
right, guys?
Does that make me worst of worst if I eat them?
Yeah, you could have one of you guys and I eat them. And then I go, oh, the thing killed him. And then you go, oh, no, that guy,
oh, dear,
you could eat you at any time. I'm dangerous.
And just one more thing.
Oh.
Cookie.
By the way, there's Killer Shark as well. And then there's Killer Croc.
Here's the worst thing.
You can't
thing.
Just throw,
yeah,
the word
killer,
killer in front of an animal,
yes,
and then make them a villain.
Killer Joker. Here's the worst
killer
thing
dolphin.
About here's the worst thing about the film. The worst moment in the film. What are we? Some kind of a suicide,
yep,
squad?
Yep, 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 yep. that's the worst thing in any movie. It's just like, so what are you guys, some kind of Guardians of the Galaxy? What are you guys here? Some kind of Justice League? What are you guys, a bunch of super friends? What are you guys, some kind of sneaky dragons? Yeah. What are you guys?
Some kind that of... I'd like. I wish people would say that to me. But yeah, I know.
You mean it's... some kind of Suicide
Squad? Yeah, I know.
Is that like a saying? Do people say that shit?
It's a very popular saying. We hear it all the time. Everywhere you go, people are saying that. He was rocking it like a Suicide Squad, right? Drop that beat like a Suicide Squad.
Yeah. Yeah. No, we're calling you guys. Here's what we're going to do. You guys are going to go out in these suicide missions.
Yeah.
You guys are going to be a squad. You're going to be all together as a squad. Sure. You may all die on these suicide missions.
I like what you're saying.
And so your name is Legion of Doom.
Wait a second.
Legion of Doom.
What are we, some kind of a Legion of Doom? I mean, it's nice of them to give us, everyone in the audience, a chance to go, yes, when you hear the movie's title and someone saying, but, you know, please.
So, to wrap.
What is this, some kind of end of watch?
Right. What are you, some kind of Batman?
What is this, some kind of Training Day? I guess this is what the director-writer likes to do.
Does that S stand for Superman?
So no, you feel like...
stands for hope.
Just to go back to the very beginning when
we're
talking.
Be sure you bury me with this symbol for hope on my chest. Put up the big symbol for hope at my grave.
And
a giant statue that creeps people out.
Is that what? Oh, I haven't seen Superman v. Batman. So, okay.
If you see the extended Batman cut, apparently it makes a bit more sense than the other one. But...
Well, I always think if you're going to make a movie and release it to theaters, you should always release the incoherent version first.
Yeah.
You want to impress people. So the first thing you put out is something that makes no sense, has no logical consistency, and pretty much is a pile of piss.
Here's my theory. And I just came up with this theory.
Yeah.
And maybe the heat talking. But you know how people have this theory about Donald Trump, that he never wanted to get elected, right? And so he's just been doing all this bullshit.
So now he's been erected.
And so people, he's hoping that at some point people go, this is bullshit.
Yeah.
Get out of here. Stop it. And he'll be able to go back to doing the things he wants.
Sure.
I'm assuming that people at Warner Brothers never wanted to do these goddamn movies.
Okay.
And then Marvel started doing these movies and making fucking fat cash.
Yeah.
And so they said, listen, Zack Snyder, come here. You guys, all you guys, you got to work on these. Yeah,
this is what the guy said. He says, this is what I want. I want the least talented director in Hollywood, and I want him here in 5 minutes.
Wait, are you saying that we could make more out of a flop than a hit?
We can do better with a terrible film than we can do with a great film.
So you're saying if we got some shitty DC movies, who can we get for Green Lantern? Yeah, Ryan Reynolds? Love it. Put it out there. Make it a big piece
of
shit.
Listen, before you even go there, animate the costume.
Love it. Okay, here's what I'm going to do. Bane, in the Batman one, bury that fucker. End that Batman movie with him in France with Catwoman, just saying, fuck you, Gotham. Let's burn that fucker to the ground.
Yeah.
Green Lantern, burn that fucker to the ground. Make everyone hate it.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to bring out a Superman movie. Okay, listen, I'm going to need him snapping necks and taking names. I'm going to need him hating being Superman. I want to be dark. Yeah. I want to glum.
I just want one big whiny session.
I want him to fuck up and just like really smash up Metropolis and be shitty at his job. And
I want him to grow a beard.
Yeah.
And then I want you to explain how he shaves it.
Love it. Okay, here's the other thing. I want Batman, and what I want Batman to do is want to kill Superman. First thing off the gate.
Yeah,
killing
perfect.
Superman.
Yeah.
And here's the other thing I want to do. Batman's killing criminals. He's shooting them with a gun.
Yeah.
Yeah, Batman loves a gun.
Just a regular gun.
I know you're saying Batman hates guns. He's shooting guns. And if we do
It's not even a bat gun, you guys. It's not even a bat gun. Right. It's just a real gun.
Right. And then if that doesn't shit the bed enough that they just make us not have to do this anymore, what we're going to do is let's do one with a bunch of villains. That makes no sense.
Sure.
It's called the worst of the worst.
Yeah.
Have them cause more problem, the problem that they have to solve. Yeah. Solve it badly.
I like this.
Hurt the whole city.
Yep.
Completely shit the bed on that. And then I think, folks, we're going to not have to do any more of these fucking superhero movies.
Sure.
And we as Warner Brothers can go on to doing the quality motion pictures that we want to do and not have to do the superhero bullshit.
Harry Potter, everyone. Harry Potter.
Yeah. We've got one more Harry Potter movie. And then we're going to try to adapt that play, right? Eventually? Okay. But then it's done, and we can go on to be Warner Brothers and actually do some good movies, and we won't have to do any superhero goddamn bullshit, right? Are we all in it? It's going to hurt. As long as these are all flops, huge flops, just like Green Lantern was, we're going to be just... How much did they all make? Son of a bitch! What do we need to do to kill these things? Oh, my God! What do we have to do?
They trumped the bed.
Yep. Wrap it up, Dave.
Wrap it up.
Wrap it up, Suicide Squad style.
There is a podcast from New Orleans called the House of the Sneaky Dragon. I wish I could remember how that song goes, actually. Sorry.
Pleased to meet you. Pleased Hope you guessed my name. And that name is Disappointed Moviegoer.
There's a lot of songs in that movie. Mm-hmm. A lot. And some of them I recognized. A lot of them I didn't.
Right.
Guys, we're doing a question show. It's coming up pretty soon. It's going to be episode 250, because it's our 250th episode. We thought we'd celebrate by letting you take over the show by asking us questions that we are forced to answer. And we will answer
all. You can Amanda Waller us.
You can Amanda Waller us.
We'll put little bombs in our head.
We will take it. We will take it gladly. What is this, some kind of suicide podcast? We will read your questions, and we will answer them, all of them. So please send us questions. It's really fun to answer your questions. We had a lot of fun on the last episode we did this on. That was 150th episode. And you're welcome to go back and listen to all 4 hours of that episode. It's rather good. So you can send us your questions via email.
Yeah. You can mail them to Box 350, Boston, Mass, 02134.
Yes.
Sorry, that's Zoom in the 1970s.
You can Zoom.
Sorry about that.
We're going to Zoom.
Do not send mail to
them. Hi, Frubbins. That's all I know of that language. You could send away and get a card that explained how to work to you. I think it basically involves putting the letters UB into your words. Hubby, for instance. Frubbins. Get it, everyone? Gabet. Ubit.
Yep.
Okay. You can email us at sneakyd@sneakydragon.com. Or you can leave a comment that has questions in it on our website. The comments. You can read them underneath our individually posted podcasts. There's room for you to comment. In fact, we love for you to comment there. And
we do.
Correct us or agree with us.
Or say, Dave, knock off all the pornography when I'm driving with my daughter in the car.
Listen, my daughter listens to this show too, and I'm perfectly fine with her learning that her father has heard of pornography. you can also...
He has a herd of pornography in the backyard. Just a big herd of it.
A big herd of it.
Free-range pornography.
Yes. You call it... No, anyway. So then you can contact us on our Facebook page, which is called Sneaky Dragon. You can go to Twitter. We are @sneaky_dragon. That's on Twitter. And we also have a Tumblr page, which apparently you can leave questions there. But the most popular way has so far been to write to us via email, which once again, sneakyd@sneakydragon.com. The more the merrier. Remember that every question merits a possibility in our raffle hat to win a customized Sneaky Dragon shirt just for you, plus some other stuff which we have not figured out yet. And every person who sends us questions will receive the bumper book of We're So Jar.
Yep.
Plus some other goodies.
And also, I'm having a yard sale soon, so I may just give you some stuff I couldn't sell at the yard sale.
Not yours to sell, sir.
What? Why can't I sell stuff from my yard sale?
It's not your yard.
What am I, some kind of some kind of yard hobo?
I guess that brings the show to a crashing conclusion.
Mm-hmm.
And a clashing conclusion. Both of them. I'm wearing plaid and polka dots, is what I'm saying.
Yes, you are.
So everyone?
You're some kind of joker? What are we, some kind of joker's deck?
I wish I could impersonate that very odd way Jared Leto has of our Jared Leto? Jared
har,
Leto?
Har, har, har.
That's not what
That's
he does.
That's a knee slapper, all right. I'm the Joker.
I'm the most evil Joker you've ever seen.
Listen, Batman, you're in a whole bunch of trouble now, buddy.
Joker, I'm Batman.
Hey, Batman, I'm the Joker.
I don't think you should
Would
be
like
doing that.
Would you like to sleep with Harley Quinn?
Frankly, listen.
My, oh, my. Turning it... Would you like a lemonade? I'm the Joker. I'm just kidding. I don't have any. I'm a Joker.
Joker, I believe your character is shifting as we...
Oh, no.
I'm losing my own thing here. I've turned into someone else, everyone.
Okay.
I've turned into Aquaman. That's so bad. That's so low it's fallen.
Hey, Aquaman.
Hello,
I'm
everyone.
The Joker.
I'm Aquaman.
I'm next to you. You don't
I'm
know
I'm also it. From the same place the Joker's from. We... How...
Don't do my character.
How to kill a Joker bird. What's wrong? What are you gonna say? Don't do your character.
Don't do my character.
It's called
character.
It's called Towley. That's your character. Yeah.
Wanna get high?
Maybe
a little bit.
Boop 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 boop. Got it. All right. That's a good episode, by the way, of South Park. Everyone, thank you for listening to the show this week. We appreciate it, and we also... Oh, I just want to say one more thing before we go.
We're sorry that this show has been the worst of the worst.
It's not been the worst of the worst. It's been the best of the worst. Everyone, I just want to thank listeners out there who have been kind enough to review Sneaky Dragon on iTunes. Thank you for your reviews. We, appreciate you bringing it to people's attention. B, we appreciate reading them because it warms the cockles of our heart, which has nothing to do with Sting. That's all I'm saying. And someone said on one of them, he said, I don't understand why more people don't know about this show, which I thought was a nice thing to say. And the reason that people don't know about this show is that we're trying to keep it underground. We could be big successes, but we don't want to be big successes. We want to be small successes. We want it to be for you, just for you and your friends to be cool too.
That's not true. Please tell your friends about the show, but not this one because it starts with us talking about pornography.
Fuck yeah.